April 4th, 2022 at
7.
April 7. Oh, this is, they got the wrong thing on this. April 7th, 2022 at 6:37 p.m. We're going to open up our regular board meeting. I left my watch up there. All right, so it says it down here, but not up there. All right, well, let's just start knocking out the appointments. I mean, you just got here, so hit the ground running.
Sweet.
You ready?
Let's do this.
So we're going to have Jason Sunrise do his report on the Pleasant Valley project and
etc. We've got all sorts of paperwork for you guys. This is, I'll have to give one to you, but that is your water application for the ARPA funds. And I'll take one and pass around with some progress report for this month. And then I have an annexation flat map to go around with annexation letters. Well, not the actual ones from the landowners, but these are templates that they can fill out, fill in the blank letters that can be used. So, we'll talk about those in a minute. Okay, give you an update on the project. So, we have just got all of the pipe put in for project. We're able to come 550 feet up from 13500 south to connect to the 4-inch line that you guys just installed across the gulch there. That's all tied in. They're getting their back tees on that. It passed the pressure test over the weekend, and then the back tees were supposed to happen this week. Which, did you get those yet?
Hey.
We're getting a good flush on that line. The last one, we got a lot of complaints, a few complaints about it.
On that top section, yeah, we did extra flushing this go around because of that.
Troy and John.
Both you and John.
Mm-hmm.
Jones was air.
Yeah, it could have been more air. But Troy, I asked if it was air, and he said, I didn't quiz John, but Troy said it wasn't.
I had Troy's not tasted chlorine before.
He's getting chlorine for sure now.
He said he was getting debris. Sediment. White.
Okay.
But this is 2 weeks. Three. When did I tell you?
He actually called. I went and actually tested his chlorine this week. I think it was Monday. Just right in line with what should be going down the line.
But he's been talking. He talked to me about 3 weeks ago.
And he talked to us about 3 weeks ago, too.
But I had him flush in his house.
Okay. Anyway.
And he texted me today to adjust his bill because of that.
I just talked to him too.
It's like, man, can I make you happy?
But
so who is this?
Troy Olbert. Down there, midway point, probably, or maybe less. No, he's probably
he's down past the first section.
He's down, he's just north of Dale Rasmussen's pit.
So he called me up on Monday and said his family's been sick and he thinks it's because there's too much chlorine in the water and all this stuff. So I go out there and his wife's leaving and she says, yeah, you can just take it out of the thing. And I go down there, his boys are there, and I go, so this water doesn't taste good, huh? And he goes, no, it tastes fine to me. I haven't noticed anything different.
Okay.
So I tested it. It's right in line with where it should be.
And no residual, but I guess more importantly, if it's right in line, that means we're getting...
No, it's so right at Newfield, it's at 0.90 or something like that. It was 0.85 at this house.
But that's coming from, so that's coming from the tank
from the treatment plant. Yeah.
So we're getting it down there? Good.
So before it used to go through the tank, and it would lose all chlorine. It didn't have any chlorine when it went down. So they went from zero chlorine to having chlorinated water. So they probably taste a little different.
Yeah, okay.
But okay. As far as floaters and that.
He just said 3 years ago, that's what he said. He said it was getting white stuff.
You get that every once in a while. People say there's white stuff. I think it's called calcium buildup or something.
Well, that flocking material. Did you notice it in that pipe?
I think that all settles out in the tanks. I didn't. Did you see something in the pipe?
I didn't notice
it. I've never noticed it.
Yeah, keep us informed if there's any other issues on that. All we can make sure that things are flushed properly from the contractor side. But yeah, we. They did flush pretty good down there. We've got.
But his section pipe has been flushed 3 times.
Yeah.
Because initial, when that first part was done, and that's the only part it's connected to, and then we've done 2 more segments past that.
And then they over-chlorinated that section before John, and we took load after load, and I wouldn't let them stop until
it was clean. That, yeah, we really flushed them out. Okay. That first 25,000 feet has been pressure vacuum tested, like we're talking about. So we're pretty well there with it. The only other thing that we are finishing up right now, they had a stub out for one of the connection requests along the way, just past Dale's pit. So they cross carried road with it, and then they went another couple hundred feet with a 2-inch line. So that's something that we're working on a change order for that 2-inch water line at the end of the digger sub. That wasn't part of the original project, so we're going to work that one up and have that one ready to go. We don't anticipate that one being huge. There's not much in that one. So
are we installing his? Why are you installing his pipe?
So it was just to continue up the road a little further.
Past his stuff?
So, I'll show you on here.
We didn't want to run 8-inch clear up to it. So we just...
Is this the same spot that Tommy wanted one? Mm-hmm. And
so I've got Jason and Canyon both bought services there. And
oh, both of them did?
Yeah, there's 2 meters it went to. And we thought that Tommy was going to buy one. So it backed out.
It's right here. Well, I haven't even got that on, do I? So right here. And we just extended up from the road to right here.
Where are their meters at, right there?
Yeah, there's a fence. That's BLM, I guess. See that line right there? That frontage on 33 is BLM, so we wanted to get it at least to the private property.
So is this, are they for residential, or are they buying it?
For that shop and that ground right there. I don't know if they're putting a bathroom in or what they're doing.
So which line is BLM? The white line?
Where you come down the road and then there's that line that's right along that pivot. So it kind of just, there's just that little strip.
This right here?
Yeah. So I just wanted, I didn't want the meters on them. So we just went to that H brace that's up there.
So it's only, it crosses the road at 8 inches and then it's just reduced down 2 inches from about right here to right here. So it ends right in there somewhere, right?
Yep.
And they buried that today. It's all in. So.
The pressure test, good?
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't really cause problems with it. It's kind of hard to leak when it's all one piece of
paper. Yeah. It's hard to get air out, too.
It is. Especially when you go from 8 to 2.
Yep.
Okay. So we are still, with everything where it is, we're still going to be right around the 836,000. The one thing that came up in the last couple weeks, Ben Henderson from the County Road Department came out and was looking at the project. He's claiming on Tower Road that there was more damage from construction to both lanes, and he is wanting to, he's recommending that both lanes instead of just one lane be replaced where we went through the road. Do you want to show that on the map?
So does, sure. So does he want us to put all the potholes back in like they were? Or? That road was terrible.
So what I brought up to him, I said, okay, I need to just understand, is the county willing to participate in this too? Because that wasn't all the contractor, and
that road's trashed.
We need to know. And I told him I would send him the pre-construction video so he could see what it was like right before construction. And I know he got it because I was able to see that he accessed it, but I haven't heard from him since. So as far as the county goes, they can ask you guys to do that, but they don't have any teeth on you. The only thing they have is with the contractor with their permit to go across the roads. They can hold the bond on the contractor. But other than that, I don't know what else they can do. They did say, Ben did tell me he talked to the commission, and the commission said it would be very neighborly of you to do that.
Well, they're just short on funds, so I don't doubt they want us to do that.
We estimated it'll be roughly $90,000 extra to pave both lanes. It's already going to be $90,000 to pave all the way through. There's about 1,100 feet.
So it's about from right here, right?
So what is your opinion on after you reviewed the pre and after the video and
the
after?
The video? It looked pretty bad from the video, but I'm going to leave that up to the county and the contractor, because the contractor is responsible on that permit to the county. Whether they did damage to the road during construction or not, they're ultimately responsible for what's in their permit. And that's very clear in the construction documents that it's on the contractor to be responsible for the permit and restoring surface improvements. That's just something, if the board wants to pursue that and be neighborly to the county, that's what you're up against. You're going to spend another $90,000 to make that happen. So, but I think the county does want to meet with at least the board.
I'd love to meet with them, because we have nothing but problems with Eugene County roads. They go through and grade up our valves, they pave them over, they have absolutely no regard for our infrastructure. So I'd love to meet with them.
So that's just something to keep in mind, that you might be hearing from the county at some point, and that's what they're claiming right now. But I've supplied the pre-construction video for them to review and haven't heard anything.
Yeah, that road is trashed. Has been for some time in a lot of places. So yeah. I'm not sure exactly where their concern is. Or is that a whole length of it they're concerned?
Just where we've got that 1,100 feet. That
just from right about here?
To the corner, yeah.
To right here.
Oh.
And they really can't tell because the whole north side of the lane is cut out. Well, they haven't done the final cut up to the saw cut yet. But
right.
It's all covered in dirt and dust, and you really can't see the road on the south side right now.
Yeah, it's pretty messy down there. And when he was down there, it was right after it, or right when it was starting to rain, too. And so it was a muddy mess. If he looked at it again after they go and sweep it, he might have a different opinion. And that might be something, too, is you can, after Weldon goes through and sweeps it and does that lane, we recommend to Weldon, honestly, to go talk to the county and say, okay, come look at it now. Because it's going to be a much different story once they repair the road where they've chewed it up. So, anyways, that's just something to be aware of on that one. And if you need to, like I say, just
point the county to the contractor because that's where the responsibility lies with their permit. So, okay, as far as the progress on the project, we'd estimated you'd be at 86% of the original bid price to be complete. We're at 79% right now. They've still got to go repave the roads, and so that's going to bring us up to that 86% once it's done in the next week or so. So you can see your progress. We gave them an extra 21 days with that last change order to go that extra 550 feet. So they're well within the time frame. They've still got 18 days left to get everything wrapped up. So on the home stretch with it. Now, as far as the contingency money, so we had the conversation with CIB, and we asked them about what can we do with the rest of the budget, basically. And we had suggestions. We talked about the independents and going and replacing those undersized lines in the independents. And they're becoming more tight with what they're doing at the CIB. And they said that wouldn't fall within the scope. Ultimately, we'd have to turn the money back and put in another application if that's what we wanted to do. And then they outlined the scope that they had. What they had in there was they still had the stuff for the ledge line tank that was discussed in the application process. You two will remember when we discussed rerouting source water from Victory Pipeline to go through the ledge line tank so keep it turned over and help with water pressure and water quality through other parts of your system. So we brought that up to her, and she said that, yes, we can do those improvements. And Jim's been looking at what else we can do with that. We're looking at replacing those booster pumps in that booster station right below the tank so that not only can we feed into the tank, the ledge line tank with the boosters, but they'll also supply the water up to the Upalpa tank and keep that one going through. Also, telemetry and SCADA to make sure that it's controlled properly and so that you guys have access to it remotely and can see it more clearly what's going on in the future on that tank and the booster station and the other tanks in your system so that we can keep things managed. We're working up costs on that right now, cost estimates, and we can prepare a contract amendment to do any design that's needed on that. There shouldn't be too much more. There's a few other things that we've discussed, like running a pipeline from your well up to the pit up by the ledge line tank so that it can be used easier. And then also developing a pay station right there too to for people to be able to fill and use that water for that too. So there's a few things that we're going through right now and trying to work out with the CIB. Does it fit within the scope? Does it not? And so we should be able to have within the next week or so have a good cost estimate on what is remaining on that and have that ready for you guys. So
just need to sign the drinking water.
Yeah, so the drinking water application. We've gone through and filled out this drinking water application for independents. The independents system, we included replacing those undersized lines in this application. So this is the ARPA funding that we had applied for before. Initially, we had applied for $1.8 million for that. ARPA funding didn't go through. Now it's under the Division of Drinking Water. We're applying for it. But with the increase in scope, so not just the connection to independents, but we're also looking at those undersized lines and extending it out to 6500 East. So if you want to show that on the computer, what we've included in the cost estimate for it.
Are we annexed out that far? On the 6500, have we looked into that?
I haven't looked at the boundary yet on that one.
So it would extend, this 8-inch comes to here, and it would extend out to right here. So right now we currently don't have a pipe in the ground right here, but that's where we would extend it out to the east.
So the project would be to replace that yellow line right there, and then the green and yellow line on the left, and then extend that along 3750 south to the rest of your system, and tie into that purple line. The purple line is an 8. Purple lines are 8-inch. The green and yellow are 2 and 3-inch, and then the red is 4-inch. But doing all of that, we put together a cost estimate. It's actually very similar to the Pleasant Valley project as far as length of pipe. And then we need another PRV in there because they'd be in different pressure zones. Pretty similar cost. We've got $2.452 million for this project. And yes, we have specified in there that we are looking for the ARPA funding on it. We did your MAGI calculation for the district based on the weighted averages we used in the last CIB application. And based on that MAGI, they recently changed the MAGI numbers for the state. Based on what's been updated, with that weighted average, you guys fall below the 80%, which qualifies you for that ARPA funding. So we should be in at least qualifying for it. We'll find out.
Did they have any influence on this side of the, like we talked last time, where we, you know, underserved over here? Was that a part of the equation?
Where are we at?
Well, like the just in that area, you know, kind of
pressure and flow.
Well, the MAGI numbers based on
we didn't account for, and that's something maybe we can update on there too. We didn't account for Fort Duchesne.
Yeah.
It was mainly Mighton and Roosevelt. So we did 45% Roosevelt, 50% Mighton, and then 5% Bluebell. In this case, we could probably tack on some of Fort Duchesne on this too, because that would bring you down. Fort Duchesne's pretty low. So that's something that we can adjust on here. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of that too, we did have a meeting with the tribe earlier this week, and this is for another district we're working with, where they're looking at crossing tribal ground on county roads in Uinta County. We brought it up to them. They said that, yeah, we're going to have to work through right-of-ways, but since it's serving tribal members, the right-of-ways, they're eager to make the right-of-way process quicker, streamline it, so that they can get some of their tribal members connected on. And I brought up that we're doing the same thing here with Independence Project, and they said, yeah, we want to do the same thing there too. So
Wonderful. They're
wanting to work with you guys on that, and we'll keep in touch with them. That when we brought up the project to them, they didn't really know anything about it, so they're trying to discuss between their different departments what can be done there, and we'll keep you posted on what we find out. So,
Karen, we had got a request for some recommendation to support the tribe in something.
It was, they were going for a loan to upgrade their system, to put in meters and to upgrade pipes to take care of leaks. And we just wrote a letter saying that we supported the tribe in that we purchased water from them at the rate of, I mean, we have 50 connections, so we use tribal water on. And that we supported that they be.
So we got them a letter.
We supported their application, yeah.
Okay, good. Great.
Okay, so this application is for that $2.452 million. I've sent it over to Karen and Jim and Dixon to review. But it needs a signature, and it's going to be due on the 15th. So this week. I'll show you. And you can sign electronically on this one too. It's a spreadsheet, and you enter your name in saying that you sign off on it. And if you want, you can make a motion to sign it, and then we can fill your name in and adjust those MAGI numbers to reflect more important change.
Okay.
right.
It's hard to get percentages because a lot of the people in Independence get their mail out of Mike.
Okay.
That's the route. Dean can tell you all about that.
Pardon?
You can
tell rural route that. Out there? Is that a Mike rural route?
Independence gets their mail out of Mike.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them do, yeah.
So in that case, you may just leave them alone and not. You're still underneath that 80% with that Magi as it is. Yeah, you can probably bring it down if it would claim a certain percentage of for Duchesne, but...
You guys understand what Magi is?
I've heard.
Median adjusted gross income. And the Division of Drinking Water bases their funding on what the Magi is for a particular zip code. So we cover four different zip codes. And so we kind of have to average it out. They usually just go off our mailing address, which is Roosevelt, which is the highest Magi in the area, or one of them.
It's one of them. Bluebell is a little higher, yeah. And Bellevue's high too. But
so
what
that's
do,
what it is. They get their funding on that, and if they have low income areas, then they receive more money.
Well, and it's also based on your user rates as well.
Yeah.
And they claim that a user rate should be a certain percentage of your Magi. And there's a whole matrix for that.
So this is the application, which is what he's reviewing?
Yeah, this is the application for the funding. And we put the Magi number on there so that they can look at it in their matrix and compare it.
We already had a resolution to go after this funding. Do we need another one?
Just to sign the application.
It's just a different application. It's the same same project, but it's a different funding source. So originally we're going through CIB.
We're
trying to go through CIB.
This one is...
And this one's drinking water.
Yeah. So, yes, you did apply for the ARPA funding. It wasn't through drinking water at the time. It was through...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And now this is through drinking
so,
water.
So, yeah, we'll need it. If we want to move forward with the... Chasing the ARPA fund. Same money, but different entity that's administrating it. Then we'll probably need to have a resolution to authorize them to submit it. So if you guys want to do that, or we can do it later, it's up to you guys.
I think you did have a resolution for us to fill it out a couple months ago.
But it was, like I said, it was for the state. Or was it for
drinking
water?
No, it was for this one. Yeah.
Oh, so we don't need one.
No, we just need a signature.
Oh.
That's what we need. So.
Well, if you want me electronic, send it to me, or I can do it right now. It's up to you.
Yeah, either way, you can just sign that one. It's the last page to signature on it. All right, there's a few others that printed with the spreadsheet. But yeah, it should be that one.
Okay.
And we can take that back, and if we need, we can put your name into on the spreadsheet. Submit it that way. Okay, and then we discussed last month that we were going to be looking at your user rate and impact fees and the policies for that. Our planner that is helping us, he's pretty backlogged right now, so we're looking at a couple other options. There's a guy in Vernal that we can subcontract with, and he can help us with the planning side. So we're talking with him right now, and we should have a better grip on what that cost would be to do an impact fee analysis and look at revising your policies to address impact fees, especially with the previously granted connections. So. And then your right-of-way mapping in your GIS, we're about 45% complete. They've got 112 documents left to go through out of, I think, 205. So about halfway there, and they're just keeping going at it.
He needs to double-check on some of them. He's put some of them in. One south and one west. It should be in one east.
Okay. Yeah, and if you see any of those, let us know, and we can make sure those get corrected. So.
This is going to cover everybody that's
in that within that area, yeah. So that's all the private owners.
So where's Highway 33 on this?
It's actually back this way. So
And that, where the GOSP is sitting, is that on BLM?
Yeah.
So are we going to get BLM to sign off on?
So that's up to you if you want to pursue that with them. We need to adjust the platform.
We don't need
to go over that way.
We don't need to annex the BLM land.
Because
nobody's going to build on it.
It's only, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and if
we can tax.
If Newfield wants that hookup, we can let them do all of.
Let's get some of that federal money back.
Right?
No, what's that?
If Newfield wants that hookup, they can do the paperwork on the BLM stuff.
Yep.
I had a guy, that already guy I was talking to last night. He's saying they're looking forward to getting that hooked up. He is anyway.
Well, so why would we annex BLM ground?
We wouldn't.
Oh, okay. I just don't know what purpose.
It's the GOSP is on BLM land, and
we're going to serve water to them.
And we're going to serve water to them.
Who?
It's the Ovintiv's. What does it stand for? GOSP.
Oh, but it's Ovintiv stuff.
It's Ovintiv, yeah. Okay. So a meter would be about right where we make the turn, and then it'd have their own line going up. I would guess that's what we would do.
So we don't have any extra work on that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so this plat map is for the private properties in Pleasant Valley along Tower Road that are not currently annexed in your system. So basically, all that needs to happen now is we give that template letter to the property owners and this plat map, and they fill in the blank with the information, their names, and the parcel information, and their addresses, and then sign it, and it's addressed to the commissioners. Then once they have that, they can take it to the county with the commission, and then apply for the annexation.
Okay. So I got a question on the annexation. So you're going through the process of this. You're also got to look at the precincts, right?
Could be. And
the reason I'm asking is a big question mark is, are precincts accurate inside the Johnson Water boundary accurate, and is the precinct boundaries accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be important for the next election if it gets loaded. I'm told they're there, whether they're accurate or not. So is there any kind of obviously this is going to add to the boundary.
Yeah, and that's going to be more on the county side on what they're looking at. As far as the requirements for annexation from the state, there was not any clear direction on precincts. It was mainly on just this is the process. You get the plat map, the description of the properties, and then a letter that includes that information. And that's how they get the annexation into the district. Now, what happens from there, that's a matter of the county, the clerk and recorder's offices. So.
Well, we got some work to do there.
Okay. That's all I have.
Jason, any questions for him before he gets out of the
Ashley about the crossings on Perriott Road.
Okay.
He said one time he goes past, there's plates, and then when he comes back by, it's gravel, and a lot of the gravel's washed out.
Yeah, there's been, especially when it was raining the last couple of weeks, they became puddles, so they should be paving that in the next week or so. Hopefully, as long as they can get the asphalt. Which, did they tell you anything about that?
They said next week is when they're hoping to do it. They just are worried about rain.
Okay.
It's supposed to rain next week. Sometime.
Well, they still should be keeping the level up, right?
Yeah.
We've told them that they need to do better on the that one he's talking about. Because it did wash out a little bit with the rain.
There's still flakes on the one they just did.
Yeah, the one they just did doesn't have any gravel because it's still whole.
They did get full fill on it today.
Okay. Well, thanks, Steve.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, Jeff. Jeff Baker, we'll turn time to you for the Alka Tank conversation.
Okay. Perfect. Going to share around a couple, one paper each, I guess, to look at. So, I wish Drew was here, because he came in kind of in the conversation, when was it, a week ago?
Yeah.
A week and a half ago?
Longer.
It was the Monday of last week, we got together and talked. So Troy, our surveyor, has been out to locate physical features, as well as pulled, as you can see on the map, the really dark line. Our other property surveys that recently happened, that he's pulled the bearings and coordinates for the off of the flats that have been recorded. The lighter dashed, big dashed lines, that would be section lines there. And so you can kind of see the tank outline, and then the smaller kind of weird shaped boundary is your actual parcel. How that lines up in the real world. It actually looks a lot more like the county parcel viewer than we anticipated it would with location. So that's kind of the deal right now. You can kind of see that that parcel cuts into the tank there, and also kind of the outlet works and stuff where you guys go in and can maintain the tank. So there's a few options we looked at when we had Jim and Drew come in and kind of talk. And I know kind of the original thought was to try and clean up this parcel and make it a little more square, a few things. And so we've got some options, but did you have a chance to talk to Shiner's, Jim?
All three of them, but they can't come to a conclusion yet.
Okay.
He's going to try again tonight.
Okay.
I said, so come through, he'll text me.
So I think the best case scenario for you guys would be that bigger kind of orange or yellow polygon there that would take into enough room. On the south side, we made sure we got enough room for the road, so you could access that road down around the bottom of the tank and over to the outlet works and stuff. It follows the actual fence line there on the north, and then we just shot that over so that it intersects that section line and then comes down that section line, which is also the boundary between Shiner's and who's the other guy there?
Yes. Yes.
So that's kind of what we've proposed. And just for your information, your existing parcel is about that 15,000 square feet. The larger polygon that we have drawn would be 38,000 total square feet. So you'd be asking for approximately a half an acre from them. And we're happy to move forward, however. Just kind of waiting for some input from...
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Because we had another project like this where the Bennett Pond over in north of Howard. And on the county parcel viewer, it looks like this where it's shifted away from the section line or the other property line. But in real life, they line up on the flats. So...
No, that's pretty close, spot on.
So I think we're just kind of waiting, I guess, and no rush, no pressure. Just once we kind of get some information from the board on, number one, if Shiner's is agreeable and how you would like to move forward, we're happy to help prepare. That was in our scope, prepare all the documents to clean all this stuff up. So
I guess right now we're just kind of waiting back to hear from Mike and family and see. They said they were amenable. They just haven't come to a compensation.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll wait to hear back.
It's pretty prime farmland up there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're happy. Just let me know, Jim, or anybody when we get there, and otherwise we'll just plan on coming to your next meeting and following up again. Any other questions for me?
Sounds like you're good.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you all.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have a schedule? We're behind?
Mayor Alley was going to come at 7:15.
Oh, sorry. Come on up. I'm lost without a clock.
How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Good.
That's on the new one, then. That's where I'm missing it. That's on the new agenda.
Yeah, it was amended on there.
And it was said it was amended, and I just forgot about it. I apologize. Appreciate you coming. we'll turn time to you.
Well, you know, we've had an agreement through the years that starvation water users, but I couldn't find Johnson on the contract for that. I couldn't find Johnson's signature, so I don't know. I guess I don't know all I thought I knew about our agreement between Johnson. It was in the name of Starvation Reservoir Colmay Water Association, which is, I thought Dallas was a member of, so.
Yeah, well, I thought he was.
But on the contract that I have, in my contract, it has Neola and Duchesne, but no Johnson. So, but you guys buy water from us. We've been raising our rates, and I just want to make sure that, you know, to start the conversation, do you continue to want to buy water from us?
If we want to provide water, we better continue to buy it from you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where we're at, is that, you know, the price of money just doesn't go, you know. Our disagreement here is 1978, was it? The first agreement. Did you guys start 78?
I think we. When was that put in? 86. I think that our pipeline was put in from Duchesne.
So I mean, I just there's kind of start the conversation to make sure that where we're at, where you guys, you know, that we're on the same page. You know what? Yeah.
I guess the things would be, is the timeline on it, or would they?
Not necessarily a timeline, it's just that we need to move forward. We raised the price to Duchesne County, and the Clyde's group, and they're kind of, wait a minute, you didn't raise Johnson, and wait a minute, you didn't raise, you know, East Duchesne. We don't have a contract with East Duchesne, and East Duchesne just uses it, and the new changes of the reservoir, they won't be able to do that this year.
So we did have a contract.
Yes, but I just couldn't find it.
And it expired like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, we dissolved the Starvation Reservoir Colmay Water User. That's dissolved. It no longer exists. So our contract, and I don't know if you guys want to go through that process of writing up a new contract, or you want to just, you know, I don't know.
What is your thoughts on a contract?
It whatever works for us. It's just like Clyde, we have a contract that's kind of a floating contract. He calls and wants water, you know, and if he needs water and we have extra water, right, no problem. We want to. My vision is to make sure that we keep our water in the basin. There's a big push to take the water out of the basin. And whether it can physically get through the tunnels or not, but there's a big push to take our water. You know, and if you guys, I don't know what your situation is, if you have water rights, if you're using on top of that, or you're just buying from us, I don't know. So
buying from you in the upper country and the tribe.
Mm-hmm. And we have well water that we don't use. We sell to industrial.
Yeah.
Frack water. So that's where it belongs.
Yeah. Our way of thinking, well, it's a hard thing because our lawyers are from Salt Lake City, and they've been kind of badgering us for about 5 or 10 years now to raise to $300 an acre feet, you know, because that's where Salt Lake is to sell it. No, we raised Clyde's from 50 to 75. And
so what do you mean Clyde's? What's Clyde?
Oh, Duchesne County Water Conservancy District. So the Victory Pipeline. Okay. So that's, but we, he was 50, same as you guys. You guys are paying us 50 right now. We raised him to 75, and anything over, we guarantee him 4 CFS. So everything over 4 CFS, if we have extra water, he buys that for 125. And I don't know if you guys, I mean, your...
Yeah, and he passes that on to us when we exceed.
Yes. Yeah. So the way I see it, and I don't know, is you guys have 2,000 acre feet that we have promised to sell to you.
That's what our usage, or is that what we're aware
of? Well, that's 2.7 CFS.
Okay.
So that depends. That comes through the plant. And I don't know where we're at there, Dixon, if we use most of that, or if you...
Our total CFS between Victory and you for last year was, what was it, 1,500? So that was all of Victory. So we weren't, we're not...
Not using quite that much.
Not that much,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'd have to look and see exactly how much we got from you, but it, most of our water we get through Victory normally.
Yeah. So... That's why I'm here, just to start the conversation, make sure, you know, we're all on the same page. As far as Duchesne County is concerned, we don't want to hurt you. We want to make sure, you know, that we're, but we can't, you know, after 40 years of same price, it's probably a time to look at it.
Has it been $50 for 40 years?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
So Duchesne City has the water rights in starvation.
Yeah,
it's in Duchesne, through the river, right?
Yeah, it's in the Duchesne River, but we transfer it through the night tunnel into the reservoir. So Duchesne City made some very good choices back in 1980, where we took it all the way back to Congress and got the tribal water rights that were there into our name. So they're tribal water rights, so they're 1865. Priority date, and for all of the Duchesne City that was in 1917 incorporated.
That's pretty good.
That was a very good decision that we made.
Yes, it was.
Mike and City had the same opportunity. They didn't push it as far, and they have a tribal water right, and they struggled.
I didn't realize that old.
Yeah.
We have, so we've got, our system is a little complex with
yes.
moving pieces here. We know we struggled really hard on that Victory Pipeline commitment.
Yeah.
And you're probably aware of all the intricacy of that.
Yeah.
You know, let's just rehash with some of the boards. We have two new board members here. So we have our Victory Pipeline discussion before we went in, and the Victory Pipeline was marginal. And to be justifiable to be put in the basin.
Yeah.
We were the ace in the hole with our contracts with oil companies. Problem is, you know what oil companies do, and oil.
That's right.
And so we had a quite, you know, the Victory Pipeline would more likely not happen if we didn't commit our resident and commercial, but also had to commit to what the industrial oil field was using. And that was about 40% of our commitment, if you remember right, something like that. And it was a big chunk of change to get our big chunk of water and 40 years worth of commitment to do that. And we were really reluctant to do that. There's a lot of pressure on us to do it because it was kind of that pushed us over to get that funding, that project going. So what we did, we went to Newfield. Yeah, it was Newfield at the time and said, okay, you know, we can... So we negotiated and partnered with them on some contracts. We can only get to 20 years on that, half the time, something like that. We're only about half the time of that. But they did contract with us, and contracts are, you know, sometimes they get challenged. They haven't challenged it yet, thank goodness, through this slow time. So on top of that, that water there, we also have some opportunities to... And it's just, it's all over the place on when we service frack water, and that can bring significant volumes. So what we did with the frack water, we put a fund, since we have this big liability over here that's hanging over our head, any excess we get from any of the oil and gas, the frack water, we put it against that liability, and we save it on that liability. And so... You know, it appears that we're, you know, at times we're making a lot of good money, but it's not as going against that 40-year liability, so we can kind of recoup that risk to our people, our customers. So, obviously, there's a challenge, and Dixon and Jim know fully well on the other impact of oil and gas is just trying to maintain the system as significant, and to babysit those significant, or the treatment plant, the squawks,
yes.
quite heavily, and it's cost. So now cost money to upgrade that. Just additional upgrades. It wasn't the full reason, but it was a part of the decision to upgrade that plant. So there's liabilities now at the treatment plant as well due to oil and gas. So oil and gas is in over their head on this. But anyway, we have some risk there. So just to give you an insight, and so we buy Victory Water. We committed to that Victory Water, which is a use it or lose it, other than you don't pay the treated cost, right?
Well, we have to pay the capacity charge on Victory, yeah. whether we use any water or not.
Yeah. So then we have our old line, or our other line, our other system line, and that's where the water comes from as well. So we have two sources that come.
That's what we buy directly from Duchesne.
Yeah.
What comes through Victory, we buy indirectly from Duchesne.
Yeah.
So you're buying it through Clyde, through
the Victory.
But
Clyde buys it from
Duchesne. But he buys it from us.
But we have a direct line to Starvation that we buy directly from them. So the contract we're talking about, or the potential, or the pricing, is due to the direct purchase. So when he says he raises $75, that was to Clyde, and Clyde passed it to us.
So this is just raising water, raising the price that goes through the Victory line or through
both lines?
It's going through our private line.
Let me just
that runs down
zoom out here and give you an idea.
We're already paying it on Clyde's.
Yeah.
Clyde's already passed that to us, and so now we're talking about the other line.
This black line is the Victory pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four different connections off of it. This purple line is what we buy directly from Duchesne City at the end of what's called the aqueduct. At the end of the aqueduct, it splits three ways. It goes to East Duchesne, to Duchesne City, and to Johnson Water. Right?
Yep.
Not all of Duchesne City's water goes through the aqueduct, or to that point. They take it out in different places.
We've got another 12-inch that comes down on the west bench.
But anyway, those are the three players. It's right by the jail there. And we start our 12-inch pipeline right there. And it goes all the way down and then goes into our Bridgeland tank, which is right here. But Victory Pipeline also goes into the Bridgeland tank, so we can fill it from either source. And we have another connection off of Victory at Lake Borum that goes south to Pleasant Valley. We've got another one in Central Basin off of Victory that goes to this frack pond. You can see this blue pond right here. It basically goes to that. And we have another connection on Poline Road that feeds the Ioka tank. So those are the four connections off of Victory.
They have one shared with mine, right?
No, they have a completely separate connection.
Under the
mine, yeah.
So is the Ioka tank, is that the one on the hill by me or on my place? That's not being used anymore, right?
No. The Ioka tank is on the one we're just talking about on Shiner's property.
Oh, okay.
And the one up here is not being used on your property.
Drive is.
So that's a summary of a lot of history and a quick quarter right there. But
so what he's talking to us about right now is the contract for water through this purple pipeline.
And we're at 50 right now.
Well, we really don't have a contract since we
I think they actually raised it to 55, but
did they?
I think.
Yeah, it had every 5 years it was supposed to be looked at.
I mean, just in the last year or two, they upped it because they upped. Before you got a new contract with Victory, didn't you raise theirs to 55 for a minute?
I'm not sure, Dixon. I thought it was a 50 with them.
I don't know.
From start to finish.
I was just going through the numbers for the report that I had to do, and it's, and I think that at some point last year you upped it to 55.
Up to 55.
But we knew it was going up higher.
Well,
that's what we. Yeah, that's the.
But that was that with the ARC money or the? There's another $5 per acre foot if you go through the treatment plant, another $16 an acre foot. Yeah. What did you total that up to? 37, 27?
It's like almost $40.
Almost $40 that we're going, all of us are going to get hit if it's coming through the treatment plant. An extra $40 an extra acre foot. And that's coming this year also. It's kind of...
So in all of these figures, does it figure stuff for future tank or not future plant?
So, you know, they have the facility, what they call the replacement, the repair and replacement fund.
Mm-hmm. And that cost us...
That was part of that.
Yeah, it's almost $6 an acre foot, you know.
Okay, that's what I was trying to...
In addition to the carriage fee for the Warren Act, which the federal government... You know,
that's $16 an acre foot. So basically, that's a charge for taking Duchesne's water right through the... Through the lake, through the reservoir, into the treatment plant.
Through the tunnel, and then back through the... So it's a federal facility, because the Bureau of Reclamation built it. And that the Warren Act that just came through last November, that's all part of it. Brand new. It's been $1 since they built it, $1 per year. I mean, per acre foot per year. Now it's up to 16.
And for every dollar increase... in acre foot, it costs 0.003 cents
per thousand.
So it sounds like a lot when they say the raisin from 50 to 75, but it's only like 6 cents or something like that, $1,000.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
And just on the rates, we raised last July, you guys should know that, you got the bill, but we went through a rate thing and it took about a year to get through and we just raised rates. And he mentioned the stuff that's coming down with the treatment plant. They're going to be finishing that up, so we have additional costs coming as well. So anyway.
Yeah, there's lots of costs. And this was, my council has been pushing me for about 3 years to get this done. And it's just never a good time to talk about a rate increase.
Do you guys do a public hearing when you raise rates?
Yes. Okay. Well, to the public. This isn't to the public.
I was wondering if you did want a public hearing for...
For this?
For this.
Not necessarily. I don't think we need to.
Okay.
Because it doesn't...
Why not? You can take it for us.
Well, we could, I guess. We're having one this Tuesday. Of our sewer and water rates of everything outside the city. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming down the pike, and most of it's not going to be in Duchesne City, because Duchesne City can't grow, because we've got tribe and farm ground. And if we're smart, we won't build on the farm ground. We'll build up on them rocky cliffs and keep the farm ground. But I don't know if that's going to be... The people coming aren't that smart, I'm afraid.
Is Duchesne City even on top of pie where the jail is, and that subdivision up in there? That's in...
Yeah, we have a subdivision that came in last, planning zoning, 178 houses.
Up on top?
Subdivision right there by the church. So, lots of growth. The county's seeing it more than the city, but it's definitely coming.
Yeah. Any other questions? I think... So do we have a quick history lesson, so...
Do we have water to serve our needs in the future? Well, you know, we're gonna see some growth here.
How much we committed on the Victory?
How much?
Well,
1,000 acre feet.
Oh, or 1,000. Mm-hmm. So we committed. We've got contracted 1,000 acre feet. And you just heard Dixon that we're shy. We use more than that a year, and it really depends on what the oil and gas does. Sometimes they're building a lot more out of our.
And they're all over the place. We went 6 months in a row without hardly selling any water at all.
Yeah, they hit us heavy for a minute, and then all of a sudden they're going this way, they're going more that way, and more that way. East Duchesne getting it, and Roosevelt. And then you energy or you tribe is providing some too. So a lot of that is being spread out. So the demand, from them is not so significant, but the growth and it's coming.
So, just roughly speaking, industry takes 50% of our water. I mean, it's depending on the year. Sometimes it's higher, but just average, it's close to 50%. So, as far as the public goes, we can always, and all our contracts say that if the demand for residential use goes up, then our ability to serve them goes down. And so we're protecting the public, but not the industry.
And we've enforced that. It's not something we just write in and it happens someday. We've actually enforced that before. We've actually had to put the screws down on some spigots for a time.
On the industrial?
On the oil and gas.
Yeah, and we are having a public hearing Tuesday for that because we're going to raise prices for our industry. Anybody that comes wanting industry water will be totally different than residential.
Well, they should be.
And I wish we'd all be together.
I was just going to ask you that because I don't think people realize how much impact it is. It is a tremendous amount of impact.
And in our case, we have not pushed it. We haven't tried to sell it. We wait for them to come to us because basically when everybody else, all the farmers turn off, they've been buying farmers' water for high price for the last couple of years. But Duchesne City has the most water right, and it's a year-round, every second right. So when November 15th, we sell a lot of water until April 15th because it flows down the stream anyway. But it's also they're buying at $1,500 an acre foot, you know.
But you're
selling to you for $50.
But you're doing it's that's raw. That isn't.
That's raw. That's without treatment plant. Nothing.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's important to understand. I mean, I you know we need to lubricate the oil and gas, but we don't need to do it for free.
That's exactly right.
Because it is in fact it impacts. I mean, it's a big impact. I don't think Roseville City. We had some, they were undercutting us and significantly, and I just kept telling them, you don't realize how hard it is to babysit that. You don't know how much impact that is.
Okay. It is hard. We all need to get around the table.
That's for sure. We
and then we're not competing.
Well, we've kind of done it when Dixon goes to a meeting at the treatment plant. When it comes to the treatment plant, we're pretty good. East Duchesne's a little bit out there, you know, but, you know.
Roosevelt's finally come around.
Roosevelt's come around a little bit, but it's something that we've got to stay together. You know, because if they're shopping around, if EP is shopping around and they want to pick the price with me, I said, go find it somewhere else, because they can't.
Well, on top of that, and that was part of my point on bringing the Victory line, the oil and gas owes a lot to that oil, that Victory line and that plant, treatment plant. So it needs to be, and they need to pay their portion on that.
Yeah, because the Victory, the treatment plant, we got $40 million sitting there the first time just to build it. And we're at $28 million right now on this build. So, you know, there are almost $70 million sitting there. And a lot of people cut Central Utah, they just charge us to keep lights on and what chemical. So it's a pretty good deal for us in the water industry, you know. Sometimes it's kind of custom, but they do a pretty good job just for employees and lights.
So yeah. What kind of money are we talking that we need to go to be sustainable?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. We're thinking just the 75 right now. And then, but I don't know if you guys want to stay with this 2,000 acre feet that you're buying per month, if you're doing 1,000 acre feet from Clyde. Is this... Because this is something that we promised that even though we don't have a contract right now, this 2,000 we set aside for you only. You know, we could definitely market it and sell it easy enough. You know, but
you said we used 1,500 last year.
Let me go grab a spouse so I can add.
And then are you thinking like a 5-year term?
So I think half of that would be sufficient.
5 years, you know, and renegotiating 5 years.
1,000 instead of 2,000.
Either put in a built-in scale in 5 years, it'll go up $5.
So 1,500 is coming from two
different sources.
$5. 1,000 from Victory, $5.
I don't know if that's, Clyde didn't want to do
but,
that.
But we like to stay at the 2,000 mark on our estimates.
Well,
that gives us some room, and that, it's important to stay there. because a frack, a lot of acre feet.
Yeah.
So I would say we need to at least 2,500, which would at least 1,000 of theirs. Just as a quick guess.
It's not good when they're there years. So your financial consultant,
because
they'll save most of it.
Okay, so
yeah,
in 2021, we used 388 acre feet.
What? We used what?
388. But we were off, the aqueduct was off from January until June. It was on before that, but we had a big leak, so we never used it.
That leak that you had?
Yeah, so basically we did not use the aqueduct from January till June last year.
And Lee contributed into the leak, too.
Yeah.
For years,
I think so.
So that's low last year, just simply because the aqueduct was being rebuilt.
And 15...
So if we have we had a contract for 2,000, we only used 388 last year. But so far this year, we've been using quite a bit. We've been rolling 600 gallons a minute, basically.
Yeah, 1,200 between Victory and us. 1,200 right now.
But as far as the contract goes, ours is separate from Victory, so we just have to look at the.
But I mean.
So I just to on the $75, because we had that rate increase and stuff like that, we baked in $75, right, last year.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
So the rate increase was addressing the $75.
Yes. That was our estimate that we thought we'd be raised to.
That's good. Yeah, because I like that we've been talking about this. It just I'd like to drag my feet because I know how. If you guys have the same number of widows and fixed income people as I do, it just kills them.
You got
to raise their $5, they just come in tears because they can't make it.
Yeah, you can't forget that.
Yeah.
But we baked it in.
Expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So this, we baked it up to set, we estimated it because that's what we had to do anyway at the Victory site.
Yeah.
So we baked
so
it
that in. Rate increase that we took should.
It would cover the 75
for.
But
five.
It doesn't cover.
Hopefully, that from the time. Time period.
Yeah.
So we sell water by 1,000 gallons, and we charge like $1.83 or $1.85 or something like that. This will increase the cost by 7.5 cents a thousand.
Yeah.
To go from 50 to 75, it will cost 7.5 cents more per 1,000 gallons.
So what you're trying to do, you're trying to get everybody kind of on the same page or something like that?
I mean, that makes more sense to me. If we're going to be in the basin, let's treat each other like neighbors and, you know, not like we're our own little kingdom. I mean...
Well, we're public servants.
Yeah, we're public servants, and we want to make sure to keep it that way because, you know, I know Johnson was founded on getting water to residents because they're... When they were founded, there were a lot of people that did not have a drink of water. You had a good drink of water, and that's where you guys started.
Yep.
And
exactly right.
You know, it's a big system. You guys are stretched out. You know, you look at your system, you're stretched out, and you got a lot of pipe in the ground, a lot of people at the very end, but not very many.
Yeah.
In between.
That's what I tell Roosevelt. Our put to connection ratio is significantly larger or smaller than
one,
what Roosevelt does. So our system is unique in that regard, yeah. For sure.
But you know, you go after borrowing money or CIB, that Magi number, that's the only thing they'll talk, and that means they want you to raise your rate, and they kind of, I don't know if I agree with them, but that's the system.
Especially when we supply all their money.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully Senator Winterton has a little bit of headway this year with that.
Well, I guess if this was figured into that last rate increase, then I think we need to have a contract to clean up so we know where we're at.
That's kind of what, yeah.
We haven't had a contract for 3 years, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It expired 3 years ago.
Yep, yep.
It'd just be protect both of us. Have that
sure. Contract. I mean, at 2,000 acre feet, like I said, if you're using 1,000, I mean, you can leave that other, you know, when you need it, I think it'd be wise to keep it. And we'll protect it for you. You know, not necessarily, we can use that 1,000, even if we sell it to Clyde. You know.
Okay.
So do you want to do the lawyer thing, or do you want me to? Do you have?
Do we have the old? I think we just look at the old one, and then that would maybe be a cheaper route to have a lawyer look at it.
Yeah. Because my lawyer, like I said, my lawyer is fairly expensive. He's kind of a Cadillac water, but also
we could share the cost on that.
Yeah.
He's a Cadillac lawyer, you say?
He's definitely a Cadillac. But, you know, he also went back to Congress and got dissolved the water. Smith Harbinger.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're definitely expensive.
We've used Smith before.
Smith Hart Dixon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I try not to use them every time you call. I mean, it's $400 an hour. Every phone call, everything. Guys.
Yeah, we're in the wheel. I'm in the wrong business.
Okay.
I might have been smarter when I was a kid.
I'll write something up for $400 an hour.
Okay.
I'm slow, though. Heck, I'll do it for
$200. The Bible method, seek and ye shall find.
Seek and seek. Okay. Well, I'll get things rolling then. Okay. That way, and we can, you know, stay with the 2,000.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend it, I think, because you never know, you never know what's going to happen. Like I said, you guys could fill up in a hurry, depending on building permits in the county.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions on that one, so.
Yeah, a year from now, things will be a little more clear.
Well, I hope it's a little more slow and a little more, makes a little more sense.
Well, like if the railroad's really going to go through or something like
that.
Yeah,
the railroad, I don't know. I'm not convinced of the railroad yet, but yeah. I heard one of my residents, he said, yeah, if you want to see what the railroad can do for a community, go to Price, see what it's done for Price. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, railroads and interstates are hard on communities. So, okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, sir.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you, Nick.
Yeah, thanks.
So we got Wayne Ruff coming in at 8 o'clock, 15 minutes, or he should be walking in any time. Do we want to hurry and knock out the minutes and the financials real quick so we can get that behind us?
If we can.
Let's do the minutes first. I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I would make a motion to accept the minutes as presented. I read through them. I didn't see anything that was... Anyway, so I'd make a motion to accept the minutes.
So Dan moves to accept the minutes. Is there a second? Second by Paul. Any discussion? I was absent, so I can't say.
Good.
All you good? Here are no further questions. Those in favor to accept the date was this March 10th board meeting minutes as written. Say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
So
Okay, that was fast. Let's do the finance report. Jim has handed that out already, so we should have that. I'll entertain a motion to accept the financial report for March.
That's so moved.
Then moved by Paul.
Second.
Seconded by Dean. Any discussion? Dixon, do you know why our utilities outstripping our percent? The fiscal year percent versus what we're using. We already used 30% and we're 25% of the done with the year. Do you have any idea what, are we going to be out of our budget on that, or is there something unique about the last 2 months?
We're not pumping at all. So I know why.
Hang on. Are you looking at the right one? Yeah, utilities.
I haven't looked at that. I don't know.
Cold winter.
Yeah, it was real cold. So maybe air conditioning was on a few days.
So what line number is that?
Number 521.
We was talking about power the other day, Karen and I was.
And that's just the reason I'm asking, because, you know, obviously that's headed for an overage.
Yeah, we're up over $1,000.
You shouldn't, you'll have a little bit, but not, anyway, maybe we'll just watch it.
Okay.
Well, we are. I wish if we run the pump up there. We never ran the pump last year, but.
Oh, the well?
The well.
I've been running it.
For how long have we been doing it?
Yeah, last month and this month.
Oh, then that's
right. Probably it. Okay, I forgot about that. We're running, we are running that pump. And then, other one, we're selling a little bit of water out of too, right?
Yeah. And then you've got the heaters and those. It is a little bit of everything. But it was Moonlight that was high. Karen was talking about.
Yeah.
Very expensive bond attorney.
Expensive what?
The bond attorney. They were just talking about attorneys.
Very last page?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 week in.
Very in.
Because Three pages in is my trick.
I don't think she's adjusted. The fuel prices is what she's used to putting so much in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go back three pages. I'll show you where all that money went.
Fuel. Water purchases. Why did she put that on your water purchases? Got an error there. You need to correct that. On Dixon's, will you highlight that for her correction? On Dixon's
yeah.
Tally? Or register?
Yeah.
We need to fix it from water purchases to transportation and fuel.
What page are you on?
Third from the last.
All right, they're on 1402.
Pages 15 to 53. We're not putting that in the water, are we? Disinfectant? Okay.
No.
Chlorine's cheaper.
I love gasoline.
Chlorine got pretty expensive now, huh? Or even use unleaded? At least it don't have lead in it. That's got that going for it.
Lead free.
That's right.
That's what we gotta be.
Do something. Be like Colorado, you can light it on fire.
Yeah, but this month the fuel prices are going up.
But oil prices are coming down quite a bit. So we should see it by tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard it. So ours are up to what, 440 now? And I hear the nationwide average is 415 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. I mean, it dropped down. We're under $100 easy. We can down $30.
What any happens further? When you open up the strategic oil reserves?
That's true.
How long is that going to last?
Temple of actions. Tell the election.
Then we have to refill it at $130 oil.
$180.
Any further discussions on that? Or any changes? So, I'll call for the question. Those in favor of adopting the financial report as corrected, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Just the one small correction. 5 minutes ahead of schedule. Do you want to jump up here, Wayne? We'll turn the time to you.
I can't get a hold of him. I couldn't either. I tried.
Do you want to wait for 5 more minutes if you're waiting for a...
Well, we thought Kenny Mitchell was going to come, but I couldn't get a hold of him. I guess what I've talked to GM is we'll go back to we'll dig it, you furnish the pipe, and we'll lay a new line. Now, Kenny was in the end talking to some of you as he thought that you wanted to go 8-inch. How big do you want to go?
I haven't talked to Kenny about it. Oh. Anybody talk to him?
I talked to him and not really a size has been. I've always understood four.
There would be no way I don't know.
I wouldn't know why you'd need 80.
Why there would be.
So, did he call you and?
They proposed development back there.
He wants to develop it.
The people are interested in buying 5 acres here or there. And that's why they'd like the larger line, but nothing's in stone, nothing's. And that's why I told Kenny, if you want to do it, then bring a plan with you and tell us what your anticipating that without them here, we don't know what it is.
Well, last time we talked about 6-inch, right?
Four inch.
I'm good with anything as long as I get water.
Yeah, I missed last meeting, so there's a few blanks there for me, but I can speak to that.
Jim had an idea, I think.
With all the stuff that's going on down there, the gas line and that, and then tearing up the approach, the new fence, it's all put in. My suggestion is to put a connection down there in the bottom on the existing line for now on a conditional use, because he's been doing it anyway with the off of God's meter. Let's just do it there, conditional use. And what kind of numbers, Cal, do you got in there?
I haven't got any there. Cut the line.
Well, in the past, what's your
Wayboy kept about 120 fat steers, or steers.
Okay, and that's
about... And we've never had any trouble keeping water with the 2-inch line that went in there, you know. I don't know.
So you're just talking about putting a connection down there on the existing line.
Yep.
Service the feedlot.
If David and them don't want to come to the table...
And the thing is, nothing's changing, because he has been using it in the past years.
So the 2-inch line?
Yeah.
So one question I have, and you'll have to remind me, I can't remember, when a lot of this was going along, wasn't there a request for connection down there, potentially for the, I can't remember their names, down in Richmondville off the hill?
No, I don't remember anything.
There's just that one trailer.
That one trailer, and he's never there.
Yeah.
But I swear there was somebody that was, maybe it wasn't a...
See, they have one connection there that they're never using. That one house, I don't think anybody lives in.
Cecilia's house, right?
Yeah.
They were using when Gene and Aaron lived in there. But it's still active, right?
It's still on, yeah.
They're still paying the flat rate.
I don't know. Is that listed as on or off? I don't know. I think it's on, because I think it clicks off on the meter reader when I read it. You have to go clear up there because it's behind the house.
Right. Oh, yeah, I had to do that too. So it is on the... We're reading it.
So it's active and being paid
for. Paying on it.
So do we know where that line is? That's Todd.
We know. You down there to find it.
Dig this way.
There you go.
Kenny never did find it, so it's not in the right of way. Kenny says it goes over in the feedlot. He told you the same thing, Jim?
Well, he's talked to Dixon.
Yeah. So what we propose is connecting somewhere right here by the corner of this corral right here.
Okay. I'm good with it.
So what kind of cost involved just hooking on something?
Looking at it, I think the line goes straight down here and then angles down right over like this. Kenny swears no, it comes up here and across the here. I'm just guessing because there's kind of like a road that comes right down here. The line's right up with the pipeline going up the other side. So I thought they must have gone down that road and then up, but Kenny says he dug it and he went down straight. So
I know that where Todd cut it was just past his house.
Which is right here somewhere?
Yeah.
Or it was past his garage?
Where's the road that goes to the south, past his house? Can we see that?
It comes around
this one right here?
Yeah, that one right there.
So where, did he cut it right here somewhere?
No, we cut it back where that yellow line was at. Where that
up here?
Line. Yeah, just go down just to go to your west a little bit. Right in there is where he cut it.
Oh, okay.
So your main line must be right there.
It had to be the main line.
But that was coming off his meter, yeah.
But that was coming off his meter, which is clear up here. So there must be another line that comes straight through to right there, and then his house comes off that. So he cut and plugged it right there. So the main line is probably right near there, too.
So is that coming off at his meter?
Yeah.
You know it runs through
it,
right?
What he was getting...
Well, yeah, it's supposed to run there.
What he was using was going through Todd's meter.
Okay.
Yeah, everything was going through.
So it wasn't just connected?
No. I mean, that's why the bill was so high, is because he was doing all the cows. I don't know what Todd's going to do without him paying his water bill every month.
I don't either. Maybe we can keep him in jail for a while. How's that? Is he right now? No, I think he's back in because he hasn't threatened to shoot me since I'm in there.
Well, the reason I ask that is I know that there could be some contention on adding it. We're not adding a connection, but we are. Mm. You know. But you're saying a conditional use. What does that mean?
Because that day he won't build a domicile residence there. He'll limit it to the, we'll say, 130 head.
How do you police that?
Well, you're going to make more money if I use more water.
No, I'm not worried about it. We got water. Yeah. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about having people coming with the
issues. It starts with the complaints is when it would start.
That's what I'm worried about, the...
PR?
No, I don't know if it's not PR. It's more of, here's a reason now you have to upgrade that whole line.
Mm-hmm. The downstream users, they've all...
But
we've already used the same amount that we've ever used.
No, the math works. I'm not disputing that one bit. The math works. I'm just, you know, when you actually change the definition of the connection, then people try to, regardless of logic, they try to hang their hat on that. That's the only concern I have.
It's a concern. It definitely is. But
do you want... If you guys want, we can check that in the model with the use that, and then you've got a modeled system that we can give you a letter for where it says whether it will or will not negatively affect the remaining connections and whether there's the capacity in the line.
That's a good idea. I think we could probably utilize the past historical usage.
Yeah.
And then forecast expected usage.
Because I know, and some of the things
that this should be balanced, but just to make sure that we don't underscore it.
It'd be nice to find where that line is right there so we can GPS it, and then when things move forward with putting a line in, we know where we're heading to. So
as long as we can hedge the potential if there's any there. So that's a great idea on just modeling it out and having a letter saying this is where we're at. I wish Kenny would have came tonight.
See, and then...
Because we have no idea what he wants.
Yeah, and we can't really make a decision on upgrading the line until we know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that line you got in there, you put that line in there because Kenny... said that's where it's at. I mean, that's the only.
This is what
he dug it. He dug it
to their family. That's the only way to really reasonably to get it to that side of the bench. And in past we have had complaints on pressure. We went to verify it and it was unverified and suspected too many sprinkler.
That's the only pressure complaint I've ever had there, and she had. She turned on her main valve to her lawn sprinklers, and none of them were working. And it just says, it's just barely coming out. I haven't got enough pressure, you know. And I says, well, where's your control box? So I went over there, and every single set was on. So I shut off three out of four. I can't remember what it was. So there's just one on, and all of a sudden, boom, they pop up. It worked just fine. I says, well, you can only do one at a time.
Well, when it froze up there at the old trailer, and it was just coming straight out of a three-quarter inch. We never even had pressure called on that. It was called because of, there was
a leak.
How fast do you think you can get the model?
I can check that tomorrow for you.
Okay.
You can go in the back room and do it right now.
I can actually go in the back room and do it for you right now if you want. It's on your computer, so.
Well, right now we can't make a decision on any type of size of pipe. So what Jim has proposed is the most, to get you some drinking water for your cows. It's the most logical thing at the moment, if time is a concern, which...
Well, it is kind of a concern, but I'm only there, I'm only in a feedlot for about 4 or 5 months.
When are they coming back?
Well, I'd like to bring some back soon, you know, but it wouldn't be as many. Probably only be like 40 head, just to finish.
But right now it's zero water, unless you're bucketing it.
Yeah. I even tried to pump it out of the wash, but that's too hard to pump.
What is
I will go with that for now. And then if we upgrade, I would still be in for it. If it, you know.
Yeah, if we upgrade, you're already there. You don't have to buy another connection.
Right. And I'll have my meter connection already there, so.
Do you want Jason to kind of run the numbers before you make a decision? What does the board want to do? You want to talk about it further?
Well, if he was watering with moons already, and I would say that there's sufficient there to make it happen. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think that the logic's there. I'm just saying because we're changing the definition, it's an additional hookup.
Generally, your cows are there from when to when. So you don't have a
this
definition for a conditional
meter. We cattle in about last October. And they're always
something I'm aware of.
May.
Put certain conditions on it.
We don't have anything in the summer.
You could write it out, I guess.
And then the livestock water. For right now with that conditional use, and I think that is, because it'll be near summertime that they have their issues.
Jason, will you go buzz that then?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yep.
I would be more comfortable just to make sure we have some backing. I know it works, I just want to have somebody that has a PE. I'm just a dumbhead, uneducated dumbhead. I don't have those official things.
There's a possibility, in the future, putting a 4-inch line down there to serve those others, it would be crazy to put it in right now with it and not knowing whether they're going to use it.
If you mention 8-inch, then I'd hate to mess this up, assuming.
Yeah, if we put a 4-inch in now and they come back in 2 years and say, that's not big enough, we want 8.
And that falls into the category of development anyway.
And
see, I don't want to put this in, we've got two things, I don't want to put it into pressure constraints or development. I don't want to violate either one of those.
So for him to make his estimates or calculations, he just takes the meter usage for all of those people on that line.
Yeah, and the size and the pressures. We have a model that we spent quite a bit of money and time on for this very type of scenarios.
See, you might have had, I don't think you, did you have any complaints this winter?
No.
We haven't had complaints.
Because Todd had a broken line for, I don't know, 2 months till I finally took my backhoe down there and fixed it for him.
Well, how big a leak was that, would you say?
With a half-inch garden hose running all the time.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. Making a hell of a mess.
Right where the cursor's at, it had a tub there, and it was always running water.
Yeah,
there.
That was running out, too, all the time.
I think we're fine. Have anybody come in and say we've modeled it, and it didn't impact the system from existing system, and that's what I'd like to have a PE say. It didn't impact the system. We know it's not, but we can sit here and say we know it's not going to, but if he says it and we can say we modeled it, And that's what we can give anybody that says, you screwed me up, all of a sudden everything, because, you know what I mean, that happens. And we say, no, we modeled it, and it's not, something's changed from, you know, we had an issue up here. They started complaining about pressure. Well, we uncovered that they're starting their business out there, and they're cleaning out some, where they're using water to clean out stuff. So their usage went up in a commercial way off a 3/4 inch. Well, it's going to affect your pressure. So, anyway, I'm just saying that having it modeled, having it looked at, and having a comparison saying it did not add any additional impacts would be valuable for anybody that comes in and complains.
And Wayne even invited David to come tonight, too. So, if they're not going to
maybe
put
not
forth
that
effort, and he told Wayne the same thing he told you, I don't want to contribute anything.
Okay. Yeah, that's what he told me.
So,
he told you that, too.
Yeah, he was quite...
Well, when you called me, I talked to him a few days later to just see where his standing was, because they both went silent after we offered it. And he just said, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I said, okay. And it sounded like he said the same thing, but he didn't say that to somebody else the other day, so that's why we were confused.
I don't know. That's what he told me last night.
And if they're not, then that's fine. We just don't want to cause it. We don't want to have an issue.
Well, and when I go down there to put it in, if he runs over there and says, what are you doing? Just fixing the problem. And he had a chance to come in. And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
So what are we going to do? Make a decision? Do we need to make a motion or something to do that?
That we get to check the model?
We don't have to make a motion on this.
No.
Okay.
As long as we got it verified, it's just selling another connection. Unless we got a moratorium on that line. We kind of do, don't we?
Well, then with the condition, you might want to put that in a motion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not allowing connections on that line.
Yeah, but it's not a formal, it's not a board passed resolution. It's just, we're not allowing them. It's just
there's constraints there.
A management decision not to allow more connections.
So
how many are they talking subdivisions over there?
We have no idea.
They're not
only. They don't talk.
Okay.
And that's why I said, Kenny, you need to come in with a plan. You need to tell us
some
figures. Some
figures and where you're coming from. I don't even know what the acreage is. And then I said, well, is this west of 7,000? And he says, yeah, part of it's. I go, and then you guys got to come in with annexation. And there's so this way, if it ever happens, they're going to have to go through the process and talk to us.
So. A little communication, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So can we find that line, you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hot pepper with tobacco.
Hey, Todd's really good at that. When he borrowed Canyons.
Yeah, we won't leave our backhoe down there.
We'll leave your side behind either, because he likes to drive that rail.
So did he have to poke around to find your line, or did he know?
No, sucker must have known right where it was.
Okay.
Because he brought their track hole down there.
And just...
And the money is a powerful drug. You're right. Jim, you're right.
All right, so
for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he'll get it in.
So let's while we wait for Jason, let's continue on our board. Wayne, you're welcome to stick around, or Jim can call you in the morning on how things go.
Yeah, there's no, I don't need to be in you guys' business. So
well, you can stick around. It's public meeting. It's fun.
Jim can call me in the morning, and if we can just put the meter in, I'm ready to go when you want.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll call you in the morning, hopefully it's good, and then come pay for a connection and we'll get it done.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wayne. So let's roll to manager's report.
Okay, well, we went over a lot of stuff. I was going to tell you all about the treatment plant, but just for your information, with the new treatment plant going online, they're saying it's going to be $5 to $7 an acre foot more in chemical costs because of the new treatment processes. They run 4,000 acre feet per year through that plant. And the more they run through, the cost drops. So if they run more, then the overall cost per acre foot goes down. But 17 dollars an acre foot, it's going to go up on our charge for the addition to the treatment plant. We're going to be charged $17 an acre feet because we have to pay off a $3.5 million loan from CIB on our portion of upgrading the treatment plant. So out of the total cost is like $27-29 million, and we have to pay back $3.5 million between all of the entities. So that's what the $17 per acre foot is. There's a $16 per acre foot carriage fee that's just been added since the first of the year, I believe. And then there is a $40 or $57 per acre foot for repair and replacement. And they are in, I'm not sure on that one. I didn't take very good note there. Anyway, the repair and replacement's going up $2.50 this year from whatever it was. I think it was 40, so it's going to be up to 42.50.
You tell them that if they keep raising rates, it causes inflation and we can't afford more. Jeez.
Anyway, so all of those are going in. The treatment plant is supposed to be finished. The last they said was the 1st of June, but looking at it, they haven't even got the roof on the one building yet. And so they may have all the mechanical done and they're just waiting on the roof. The roof's the last thing. I don't know. But I would be surprised if they're got it online in June. Probably be July or August. But I don't know. They might surprise me. We have some policies that we've been looking at.
Hang on a second. Before we get into policies, just in case Jason and them want to leave any time, what'd you find?
So, adding it during Pekin Centennial flows, which is kind of what's governing that area right now. There's not a fire hydrant on that line, so we're not worried about fire flows. The pressure, if we add another connection that was averaged over the system for Pekin Centennial for an average connection, it drops the pressure in the line about 5 psi, but it's still within state standards. If you put another one on beyond that, it would probably drop it right to state standard, right to about 30 psi. And because right now it drops it down to 35 right at that house, and then now to about 48.5 psi at the end of the line.
So 35 to 45?
It's 35 at this house, and then at the end of the line, about 45 psi. The state standard, 42. So state standard is 30 psi at peak instantaneous conditions. So if you add the one, it drops it from 40 down to 35 right there at the house. If you added another one, it would probably drop it right to state standard, and then no more would be allowed on that line.
So why is this dropping at 5,000 when five pounds when we're not adding any more flow?
Well, this is assuming a worst case scenario of adding one more connection to the existing flows.
Okay.
This is when everybody flushes at the same time.
Yeah, but we're adding one more connection, but we're actually decreasing a flow at that meter.
Actually, yeah, what is actually used there is probably going to be what's actually there right now. But adding one more connection would be acceptable according to the model. All
right.
So if we have a letter stating that that one connection makes us still within standards.
Yep, and I can write that for you.
So then that's just a management decision. We don't have to have a resolution on that. Because we don't approve every connection that comes in unless it's outside of our policies. And a policy we have to maintain, as Jason said, state standards.
So if it's management decision, then the management that gets the letter in there.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, but we don't have to have a resolution, so we can move on. So you guys got your decision.
Okay.
I mean, unless the board has got anything else on that. I mean,
well, to me, it seems like you've been talking about this for a couple of years, I think, or
since 5 years ago.
Yeah, since he bought the property.
Get it done.
and you're going to do some conditional. It's not going to be a residential.
Yeah. Yep. Livestock only. No residents on it.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, limited livestock.
Limited livestock.
Because those cows can drink a lot of water. If you get a lot of them.
1,000 head in there.
Yeah. I would pull a system.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jason. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Stepping in and working some. Well, you're on overtime right now, anyway. You're milking it for all. I mean, I'm sure your boss will give you all the overtime you need. That's what my boss did when I was on salary.
He's got to make up for the time I spent taking my kids to the desk yesterday. So.
Okay, so basically, after all of the. This is just me editorializing. I think before we do anything, like with Richens, that they've got to come to us with a plan showing what exactly their requirements are, how many houses, how many lots, whatever it is that they're building. And so the board has something to make a decision on, because we, and on any development, whether it's a subdivision or an upgrade or whatever, I just think that the people who benefit should be the ones paying for it. But anyway, so we have a whole bunch of policies we'd like to submit to the board, but we don't want to do it all at once. So we already talked a little bit about this on-call coverage proposal, and we went over it, and we made just a couple of little changes. And we talked about it, was it last meeting, about this $125 per week. So we think it should be $126, just because it divides evenly into 7 days. It makes it $18 a day.
Okay.
And instead of being less than 30 minutes, it's state law requires 60 minutes, that you be within 60 minutes of your system for to have an operator within. So it changed from 30 to 60. And then somebody else mentioned that instead of violation of the on-call policy will lead to disciplinary action, they changed it to can, and we agree with that. So that's, other than that, this is the policy we'd like to submit.
Can or may?
That it may.
Can,
not will.
Yeah, can is the right word. That's really? The accepted word, yeah. And will is not a good word.
But is may better?
May can be just as good.
It's all the same.
It may be just as well.
Okay.
But as long as it's not a definite, like, you know, a definite thou shalt and stuff like that. Okay. We don't want that language.
Whereas.
Yeah.
Therefore.
We don't want shalls or wills or in that, because anyway.
That means you have to address it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. What's the board want to do on this? You want to make it?
Read it one time.
All right, so it says, this is on-call coverage proposal. Johnson Water District requires weekends and after-hours coverage. Each on-call employee is required to adhere to the following guidelines. To be on-call is to be required for immediate contact availability for all hours assigned to be on-call. Bullet points. An on-call schedule will be established by staff. Probably approved by board. Well, you want to do that? Why did you scratch the board out?
Well, I would just leave it staff because we would probably break it into days because there might be 3 days of a week that Jim's going to be gone, but he...
But I get it. The board has to approve it anyway. By default, the board has to approve the on-call. The problem that I don't want to happen is if there's a disagreement between you two and the third person on how that's going to be done. It kind of takes the awkward, you know, somebody thinking they're not being fairly treated because, you know, does that make sense? The schedule. You put the bad guy on the board. The board, you guys make a recommendation, or you.
So when they say you've been off every Christmas or something, then...
I just don't want to have a squabble between the... When you leave it to the employees to work it out, I think they should have full input. But right. I think the ultimate decision has to come to the board for approval. That way, it puts the onus on the board to be the bad guy and not have to, you know, one guy saying... This is how it's going to be, and then they, well, I want it this way, and that's what I worry about. Does that make sense? So I don't want to create an atmosphere or an environment where you guys have to work it out, and it might lead to a point of an argument because somebody feeling like somebody's not doing something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to allow the flexibility to float that. You know, you say, we cover my own call. I mean, you guys can do that.
Yeah.
But if we have an established schedule, you can float it and say, I'm gonna, you know, I'll take this period, you take that period. You know.
I have to have these days off. Can we trade?
Yeah. That's what you guys can do on your own.
Flexibility, you know.
Yeah. But if you had like the board says you rotate holidays evenly, and you Monday through Sunday or whatever, and then you guys handle the flexibility yourself.
Well, we just don't want nobody to be there. I thought you was going to be there. He thought you were going to be there.
Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, we'll have to keep a schedule on the calendar so we know exactly who's...
Yeah, but I think but an overarching... So, like, what I guess the point I'm trying to say is the board can set, this is what it is, on the call starts on Monday and it ends on Sunday at midnight. Whatever, and then the holidays are rotated evenly among the staff, and that's probably all you need. And then the staff can be flexible. They can trade, and they can even trade holidays. If Jim likes to work every holiday, then he can work every holiday. But that's up to their prerogative. That's where the flexibility you guys want, right? That's the type of flexibility you want. You don't want a rigid have to follow. You want the flexibility. So if the board says here's the rigid is that you guys have to rotate holidays, and that everybody has to do 7 days. So then through the year it's evenly spread for the 7 days, and then you guys can switch and trade all you want. Is that fair?
The board's involvement that would be really limited.
After we just said it, saying you guys have to be fair. That's all we need to do. Is you guys got to be fair.
It can't work somehow.
Well, you may run into, you know, stuff that we run into. We got a small staff and stuff, but sometimes it's like, well, I traded this, and he said he would do it, and now he's got this, and you might have those complaints.
But we'll be good with the new person. I mean, we've had it pretty good so far. So you get someone new that wants to take every.
No, you got to protect. You got to have it. This is how it is, but we don't want to rigid it up to where they can't be flexible among each other, or they can trade if they want to, and we could formalize the trade, because the one thing to help the squabble out, so it has to be done. You know, you have to fill out a form if you want to trade, so you know, I'm trading these 5 days for his 5 days, and then it's done. It just keeps. I just don't want to have the infighting, and the board needs to have it say it's fair if they do this, but they have the flexibility to move it however they see fit.
So you're saying you want a form that says I'm here?
It's just a good practice.
Well, it would be, you know, if it was
And we kind of have that calendar in there that we do that.
Yeah.
Get away.
Just as long as roll.
That's just form.
Yeah.
And it's just
more of a reminder. Yeah. If I do have something to do.
Yeah. So only thing I would add to this then is just that we would say, hang on, I'll let me keep reading it. The designated on-call employees will be compensated at a rate of $126 for each week, equaling $18 a day that they're on call. When an employee is on call, he or she is required to be less than 60 minutes away from the district at all times. Failure to respond in a timely manner could negate the on-call pay for that week. Violation of the on-call policy can lead to disciplinary action, which may include termination. See, we don't use may twice. We don't say may lead, which may include. See, poor grammar there. So the only thing I would say is on-call will be evenly, I mean, we can do it a couple of different ways. This on-call will be evenly shared amongst the staff. And that'd probably be sufficient because that would just do your holidays, that would do your work days, everything evenly shared. I don't even know if we have to establish a window, do we? What do you guys think?
I wouldn't think so.
And then just put it, allow the flexibility of the staff to trade days if they, at their discretion. As long as both parties agree. That's fair? I'm not an expert, so I'm just saying I just don't want to have it. I just don't want to have, so we need at least to say it's evenly distributed.
With there being a raid on there, do we have to have a public meeting?
No, we're not raising it to the public. It's internal.
Okay.
But that is a good thing to keep it in front of our mind every time we do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so so the wording you just put, even I'll just write it out so you guys, I'm not going to write it out verbatim, but just the idea on what these bullets would include.
Responsibilities evenly.
On-call responsibilities evenly distributed. You know, actually, we probably ought to have a form because it says it has monetary value. that would help Karen keep it straight on who's getting paid that for that on-call that week, especially if it gets landed in the middle of the week where somebody got half that week and somebody gets the other half. Right? Am I thinking right?
Unless you can just do it as a certain amount of days per year, quarter.
We can make up a form and just record it so we know it's done what.
Yeah, you may have a somebody who don't want any time off, and he'll take all your, you know, it won't be evenly distributed because they may want more time off. Or you may want more on-call because of this $18 extra a day. You know, you may have that, and if you're willing to give them your days, you'd want to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
I've seen it. There's people who are just hungry for money, and they don't care about time off.
Yeah.
Just some scenarios I'm thinking through there, but... So this is what it's, what is Karen, a clerk, right? So what I've got here is the on-call responsibilities will be evenly distributed among employees. Employees are allowed to trade on-call days as long as both parties agree and notification is given to the clerk. That way she knows how to pay. Good enough? Okay. Good enough to you? Wow, that was good. So, there's only, I mean, I guess, we have to adopt it if we want to adopt it. It's up to you guys, or we can move to the next one.
Do you guys agree with it? You guys pretty good with it?
If I'd have known he's reading it, I'd have wrote it so you could read it.
I just give you the first one.
Oh.
I'm a slow reader. I need to have time to read this.
What's this?
This is personal property.
Yeah.
Use and stuff.
So I want to take it. And
well, we've had this. I first sent it out in January or February. Did you guys not get this?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You've seen it?
I haven't. Yeah.
Did you not?
I didn't. I haven't seen it.
Did we not hand it out last meeting? Because it was on the board too.
Well,
oh, but you haven't seen it, though. You haven't read through it.
I haven't read
it.
Okay.
So let me give you a little... I'm the one that brought this one up. Let me give you a little background on this, just so you're aware of why I did it. what are they called? Utah Association of Special Service District. This is where this comes from. They recommend that we... that entities such as ours adopt something similar to this. Utah made a law in 2019 that made it a felony for personal use of public property. So, if you want to take that to an extreme, and it only gets took to extreme is if you got a public, you know, have an axe to grind and try to get an employee in trouble. So, give me a scenario. One of our employees is in Vernal for a meeting. Stops by Walmart, grabs some groceries, you know, on the way home, and that's personal use. And technically, could be hot water for that. Their felony's pretty rough for something simple as that. You know, that's silly. And I think that our employees should be able to have the flexibility to do that, you know, to be able to take a call from their wife when they call the company cell phone, to come in here and visit with them if they need to drop something off or whatever. You know, it's just, there's just scenarios that you can't avoid. You can't say 100% of the time they can't use public stuff. It just happens. You know, there's incidental uses that doesn't matter. But I don't. Well, what I'm concerned is if we have somebody who's after an employee for whatever reason, that they could weaponize that law and try to seek and complain and try to make that an issue.
And it covers the board members also,
yeah,
and contractors and anybody affiliated with the company.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. The board is less risky, but it's still a real risk. I mean, if we come down for a board, you know, come down to this office for whatever, I don't, you know. There's just, he told me, he says, well, what about, you know, I take, this is my thing, just so you know. If it wasn't, and I take it home, you know. Really? That's silly. That's the example he gave me, and I'm like, okay, that's extreme. The most reasonable one I can think of is some, you know, stopping off the grocery store after work on your way home. You know, I don't have a problem with it. The board may, I don't see that that's an issue. And I think we need to protect our employees from that law. Because the law says if you don't have a personal use policy, then any public use is bad news. So we do have some concern on this doesn't cover equipment, or it can. So, you know, the board has the ability to amend this to say, I mean, we can do whatever we want with this, so we don't have to adopt it as written as a template. But what we do need to do is consider additional assets. We have backhoes, trailers, hydrovacs, you know, that's above and beyond a pickup truck or a cell phone or a computer, or you know, a computer. You know, it's another high risk because, you know, personal use can be as much as easy as lunch break looking at the news. But but we can say, you know, no personal use of backhoes and heavy assets. You can say that if you want. But you just need to make sure that we're specific if we do exclude something, so it doesn't get too general to where it just null, you know, voids this anyway. And if we see you can use personal use, but you can't use it, you know, we need to avoid that kind of language. Have you seen? Have you read it over? What is your thoughts on it, Dixon?
I agree with it basically because I never thought about, you know, if I take a call from my wife on my cell phone, I'm violating state law, you know.
That's silly. But, I mean, but you see, is written anything that sticks out to you that...
Well, I think the thing to remember is, the key word is...
incidental.
Incidental.
Yep, that's a good point.
So do you have a personal cell phone as well as a company?
Nope, just a company cell phone.
Company cell phones too can be grammed, by the way. So
can be what?
Grammed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. The public can gain access to the information on them.
So I've got my state phone right here, and I got my personal phone. I do not use this for personal at all because I don't want. You know, I don't want them funneling through that stuff. Not that I have anything to hide, it's just...
Yeah, right.
Because I got environmental stuff. I don't want to know where I live. I don't want a lot of that information out. I don't know my kids, you know. There's more reason for me not to have it, but yeah.
That's the key, just incidental. You know, it's like... I stop very often at Stewart's on the way home from work, you know. I'd feel a lot better if I knew I wasn't breaking state law.
And that, I consider that incidental.
Well, you're all right if you're at, you know, you're after hours. It's your vehicle that you drive. I don't see a stop as a stop, you know, if it's 40 miles out of your way.
Yeah. You can say you're on your way home. That was what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the key word is incidental.
You're not going to want to go.
You're not going on.
I don't go home, and then my wife says, can you go get some milk? And then I drive the truck back.
Yeah.
When I do personal stuff, after I'm home, I don't use the company truck.
Yeah, it's the same with my DNR. I got strict rules on mine, but yeah. But incidental stuff like that is my concern. I don't want to. I mean, even if it wasn't, I would. You know, I mean, they can stop by the store on the way home.
Those things are small things.
Yeah,
they're small. It's
incidental.
It doesn't cost the company.
No. No. But it's incidental, and that's the key word in this thing, is incidental use. And so let's say they took a backhoe and started digging a line. Is that incidental?
No, I'm sorry.
There's nothing you could really do with a backhoe that's incidental other than jumping in it and moving it out of the way if you needed to. Or the sucker, the super sucker, or the, what do they call it, the high pressure vacuum cleaner, what was it called, something like that.
The Globy.
Yeah.
No, where was it that they wrote that, the high pressure vacuum cleaner?
I can't remember.
We just did, we're reading through something that talked about a high pressure vacuum cleaner.
So we assume
that a job description was?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. It was a job description. We going to keep that language? So anyway.
So you're wanting that this needs to be in the proposal? Or
yeah, we have to adopt it. Just every policy has to be done by a resolution. Paul, what's your thoughts on it, young man?
I think we need to do it. Do we want to do this one first? Well,
it's the board's discretion. I'll entertain a motion on any of them. But if you feel more comfortable, more time, let us know.
If you guys are good with it, I'm good.
I think the key is the incidental. That's the key on that.
Do you want to read that? Or?
I think I'm good with what's been added to it.
And we can amend.
As I get a motion.
And we can amend as well. This is, doesn't mean it's indefinite.
This here.
Yeah, if we find something, we can amend any time.
I'll propose that we accept the rules and regulations for personal and public use of property for Johnson Water District.
And we second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Paul Percival that we adopt the policy for rules and regulations for personal use in public property, of public property, seconded by Dan Proger. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor of adopting the motion on the table, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. So we just need to date it, dot it. I guess we got, that's just a copy. And then this one, if anybody wants
to make a proposal on that.
You need to make, you want it?
Well,
have you read that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll move that we make that we accept the proposal for the on-call coverage for Johnson Water District as presented.
Okay, very good. There's a motion on the table to accept the on-call policy.
I'll second.
Seconded by Dean. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor of adopting the on-call policy as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Can you oppose it? Carries. Two of them. Knocked out. One more for us. Personnel policy update. Oh, no. Yeah, what is that one?
The hiring, the personnel hiring duties.
Did you get those emails?
Oh.
Just looking there.
Well, we have C on here. What's C?
I'm not sure which is that.
I don't know what that one is.
I think
he's been putting it on there forever.
That's the one that we're the whole policy manual book, right? That's what I understand.
Oh, right? Okay.
And that that's a priority of us. We just don't have it ready.
We were going to discuss the retirement SEP IRA.
Well, when the committee is ready to make a recommendation, we need to have a recommendation before, and they're not ready to put a recommendation yet.
So I don't know whether you guys are going to handle that in a closed session or what.
No. We need to. Well, the record, we have to be satisfied on the three issues that we had. The one is make sure we correct the policy, then the other two of the way contributions were, we got to get that clarified. Make sure that we're covering our bases on that.
Well, you guys in the closed session, from what I understand, passed the thing saying that they were changing it.
We can't pass anything in a closed session. They just
were recommended.
They just acknowledged
the discussion
that they, the consensus was on the interpretation of how it was written.
I guess my concern is we don't want any more matching funds being taken out of employees, because that's
I thought that was stopped,
and that is resolved.
Yes, that was immediate stopped, right?
Yep.
But so our concern now is that was a match, and is the 3% that Johnson Water was paying in to match, is that going to continue, or are we just going to be limited to 9?
No, this is a correction. This is not going to take away or add. It's going to continue with that. Yeah, we're not changing to increase or decrease. We're correcting it. But we also got to address those other two issues to make sure that we don't misstep on those. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm not sure I understand. So you can continue at 9%?
No, it's going to be the 12.
Okay. Then I'm good. Then.
Yeah. No, we're not adjusting that. That can be dealt with during the budget if we want to do that. We're just trying to get it back in whole. And while we're doing that, we found out we had two more issues that we needed to resolve.
So she did it at 9% this last time. Our last.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So she needs to bump it to the 12.
I think it'd be better, but just under the guise that 3% could go to an IRA contribution, you know, that 3% is not solid, but to make sure that you guys aren't getting shortchanged.
So we all have to do the same thing, right, with that 3%?
Yes.
Okay.
So the options are it can stay, it can be channeled off into your own individual IRAs.
Well, the way he explained it was, in the SEP IRA, you can contribute the employer, not the employee, can contribute up to 25% or $61,000
right
per year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, because we were putting in 15% of our salary into it, okay? So we cannot do that any longer.
Right. Right. So what I'm saying is the intent for the original was 9%. So right now, we want to make sure you stay whole at the 12.
Yeah.
Cause that's, and so if you, but we could decide to take the 3 from, and if it decides and everybody's happy with it, and give it to you as matching opportunities for your own IRAs, you'll still have 12% contribution. It just may go here for the company one and 3% for your own.
Yeah, but personally, I would rather have the 12 all in the SEP and then me do my own personal.
And that's just something we can decide. But regardless, the 12 is going to remain whole.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like Jim says, all of us have to do the same. It has. If we do, if you do...
No, you're right. It has to be...
I'm not going to speak for Karen, but I think we'd all be okay with the 12% of the NFPP.
Yeah.
Well...
We'll talk
for... and there's considerations on... Because there's some... When you go with the SEP, there is, you lose the ability to have, when we're bringing on employees, to have some, incentive, long-term incentives. So you can vest the 3%, the 9%, or the 12%. Well, anything in the SEP, you can't vest. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it comes immediately, you're immediately vested as soon as you start.
Yes, in a SEP. But if we decide to put a 3, you guys that have been here, you're already vested. But any new employee that comes on, we could utilize that 3% as an incentive for long term. And so the board may want to look at doing that for an incentive for long term. Because that's part of what your employment...
Well, let's do that 3% year to year.
Yeah, you can change it any time.
Right.
So at the discussion time in November...
Well,
3% or whatever that is, and keep it in the FPP for a full 12%, and then at that time the employees can decide.
If they want to do a vesting, you know what I mean, a long-term incentive, incentivize longevity in employment. Somebody comes in and they're a job hopper. You know, it's expensive.
So in addition to the SEP, you want to have one that they contribute
So the company's investing 12% into your employees. Part of what a sound business practice to do is, because retirement is a long-term investment, you want to provide it for employees to keep long-term employees. You want to encourage longer employment than 1 year or 2 years. So you can utilize your retirement for two ways. You can utilize retirement to say we have our set amount that we contribute, then we have a percentage of matching funds, but those matching funds are vested. So what that means is that... Am I boring you?
No, what are you guys going to talk about the property access?
Oh yeah, that's on there.
Yeah, well, it's on there on the. That's actually the next discussion item.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll clean on that.
Okay, so vesting up. Dan, Dean, and Paul, you guys understand vesting, right? So what vesting is so if you got an employee that comes on, and you got a huge investment that year, for that first year, and to get them on board, get them trained and everything like that, vesting means they can start, we contribute, let's just say the 3%, we invest in 3%, and we contribute into his 401k, and 6 months he ups and leaves because he's found a different offer. Vesting, if you have a vesting that's three years out or whatever, then that money that we put into him comes back to us. It encourages them to stay because they lose that money. It's called golden handcuffs is what it's actually affectionately called. But it's a strategy to help, because you have so much money that you invest in an employee that it just helps minimize the cost if they do hop a job for the next dollar. And so it's a sound practice. It really is. Now, the people that's been here, so you can say, we do a 3-year vesting. We do a 5-year. You know, I've done 5 years. I've had 8-year vesting with the companies that I've worked for, and they do percentages over those years. Whatever we set, these guys, unless we go 20 years, which is not going to happen, but all these guys would qualify. So it wouldn't really affect them. The 3% would just be at their dollar. They would have flexibility, and this is why you may want to consider it, or it could be a benefit to you guys. They do have the flexibility to say, I want to put in a Roth, or I want to put that in a standard IRA. Because if you put in a Roth, when they put in a SEP, they don't get that taxing benefit, but when they put in a Roth, they do. The taxing benefit. So there is some benefit that way as well to the employee. So that's why I would like the board to consider you know, if we want to have a long-term or a longevity incentive, and that's what you use with the vesting, and that 3% would be something we can do by just giving them the 3%. We can't tell them it's a, we say we'd like to match, but when they do their personal one, we can't tell them it's a match. It's theirs. And I don't think, and we can, and investing is that we would have a policy. We can vest that money in a different language to vest it, to make sure that we accomplish the goal. But the other percentages that's left in the 9%, the SEP, is gone once it's in. I mean, it's 100% theirs from day one. Even a new employee. So, does that make sense? I hope I didn't confuse you more.
Trying to.
So, a vesting period, so you can have a vesting period of 3 years. I've seen 5, I've seen 8, like I said. You can have 100% investment, say, so I'm vesting over 3 years. All that money that they, I personally put in is my money. The money that the company puts in is vested money. Until I pass that 3-year mark or whatever mark we set, that money is not mine if I quit. If I quit one day shy of that 3 mark, it goes all that money that the company put in, not my personal money. All the company goes back to the business. And then if I quit the day after the 3-year mark, I have all that money. That's what the vesting means. And you can vest 100% at 3 years, or you can vest, you know, after 18 months it's 50%, after 3 years it's 100%. You can, there's that type of that vesting schedule. You can put it out 5 years, you can put it back 2 years, it don't matter. It's just a mechanism that allows to incentivize people to stay longer and at least pass that first year mark where you're already dumping a ton of money training them and getting them up to speed or gal, that and minimizes that impact if they actually leave before that year is up. That money gets back and you can put it into the next guy. Does that make sense? I hope. So, to answer the question, we need to keep you whole on your 12%, but that could, you know, that could be, that 3% or whatever could be moved. But yes, you need to be kept whole on the 12 because that's the policy.
Okay.
So put in the set. Cool? Okay. And we'll just continue to, the committee, you know, you guys can work it out, but we've got to get to make sure we have confidence in the other couple issues on moving forward. So, personal property discussion, access. Should we bump that down to the bottom?
No, I was just curious. If you guys were talking about the formal permitting process that we...
So will you run,
a couple months ago.
So a $12,500 bill includes the permitting process and the engineering?
And excavation.
And installation?
And we're going to install it for you too. I don't know if you trust it.
We'll let you know back up.
What was the policy in personal use? so what questions do you have about it? I mean, the permit
includes permitting.
Mm-hmm.
$12,500 includes permitting and engineering.
Yeah, so I'm just reading through. I've been reading through the scope of work here. It's all the data collection needed for figuring out what's their cultural survey, providing the maps, plans, details required for the construction and permitting of an access road across the stream just north of Justin Waters' office. So, yes. The engineering and permitting for the project, including the cultural and biological surveys for it too. So,
okay.
And I did call the guy you gave me, and I talked to him, and he says it would be around 8 to 10,000 ballpark. But he says there may be things come up that's going to add to that, and so basically we're.
So is this a bid though on your end? Is it a bid or a hard bid, or is it
a formal proposal that we're
going to go higher or lower?
If you want to cut services, we can value engineer that and cut some of that out. If you want to just do the permitting itself,
Yeah, we'd be in the $8,000 to $10,000 range. But if you want the engineering permitting, making sure that we're well, and that it kind of goes along with it too, because you've got to know what size of a fill you're putting in there for part of the permit. So it's kind of hard to do one without the other.
It is. No, I guess the reason I'm asking is it ballpark, not ballpark, $12,500, but it could be higher depending on what you run into.
We do have on here, so if there's additional things that come up. So if there's, yeah, additional requirements by the state, Army Corps of Engineers, if they come in and say, no, this isn't going to be enough, we're going to need X, Y, and Z beyond what you've already got in this permit, then yeah. But this really accounts for a 404 permit, and this is 404 and 10, Utah State Engineer's Office for stream alteration. So that kind of is the bigger side of things. The 404 permit is more involved than just a simple stream alteration permit. So yeah, we're pretty much accounting for it. And that was one of the things that Aaron brought up a couple months ago, is they recently made a change. Usually in the past, it, much as just last year, all you had to do was a simple stream alteration permit and the state was able to handle it in their office. Now the Army Corps of Engineers is involved, and so we're accounting for that in this price of the $12,500. If they come back and say, no, we're going to have to do surveys for a lot more than what you guys are doing, then yeah, there might be more on the survey side of things. But as far as the engineering and permitting, it should be pretty straightforward with that.
Does this include the recording of the increase in easement?
I don't believe so. No, we didn't include an easement. We're going to do the plans for it.
Okay. So. What was the gentleman's name?
Don.
Hamilton.
Did he include engineering on that price, or was that just permitting? Because you had to have some engineering on it.
I think it was both, but he wasn't firm on the number. He said it depending on what they found, it could go higher.
Okay.
And on the easement, what is it, a 20 foot on each side now? On Jim Taylor?
66 feet.
I know, but right now, it's already recorded as a 40 foot.
Yeah. 30 or 40?
Well, 20 on his side, 20 on ours, so 40 foot.
Is it 30 on this side then? Or this 20?
Because we were thinking we only needed an extra 16 foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's 40.
That's 26 feet. It was 13 feet.
It was 13.
That we were wanting this split each.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got the team.
That we were hoping that they would split with us.
Yep.
That would give us that's 66.
So what I was starting to say is that we have plenty of room on our property to add the rest of this 66 feet without coming close to our shed out there. So if it comes down to it, we can still do it.
Right. That's why I think we approved it. We just was hoping that they would play with this as well.
Yeah.
Has Jim ever contacted anybody? We haven't talked to him?
I talked to Gail McCackney twice, actually, and he said that he represents Jim sometimes in some of his dealings. He said if it was approved by the board or whatever, that he said that he would approach him and see if there was a way that he would want to deal with it, you know, that Jim...
To put an extra 13 foot on his side?
Well, no, this was on purchase of the property.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't mention the additional right-of-way. But... Anyway, he said that would have to be done by the board if we wanted him to
personally contact Jim Taylor.
Okay. Engage him to do that.
Pardon?
To engage him to do that.
Yes.
So, back to the question is the culvert right now. Right?
Well, if
unless Jim was willing
to buy it,
but Jim, you already talked to the landman, and they know that we were trying to get him, and he was supposed to get back with you,
mm-hmm.
but has not.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that he's not interested enough to worry about it. So I think we can discount his enthusiasm down to minimal. And he had an opportunity, and he didn't put a bid in. We sent him a letter, too, on the last go-around, so I don't really think he's that interested.
No.
You know, we just thought it would maybe save us $30,000, but I don't think. And Drew got called today. There's developers coming out of the woodwork right now trying to buy it, or wanting to buy land right now. So, I don't think.
And he also said that if we were going to list it, to just pick a realtor and list it, and it all goes on to the multiple listing service anyway, and so he just said that'd be the best way to handle it.
Yeah, we're a public entity, and so these people so we got a little bit of a challenge there, right? We have to be fair and widely advertised, and we have to have fair market value. These people that Drew told me about today, they're interested in it, but they don't want to use a realtor because they can handle all that. But we can't, I don't think we have the ability to sell it to anybody individually without giving
it to up to the public.
And we can do that a number of ways. We can just flat out say we're entertaining offers, not bids, we're just entertaining offers, or we could set a price and we could just post it that way and then have, or we can do it.
So you don't have to go through state purchasing?
On land, what was the answer? On land. Our surplus property.
Oh, okay.
We're not purchasing anything, we're selling it.
But you don't have to sell it through state purchasing is what I'm saying.
We run it through two lawyers and they just said what he just said.
Okay. I was just curious about that.
And I hope we're not being led astray, but we got two separate councils, one at $25 an hour and one at $275 an hour.
What about the $400 an hour lawyer over here?
Yeah, what does he say?
You don't want to know what I think.
And as far as the lease that's in place on it, it just, when it goes up for sale, you list it.
It's part of the transfer,
part of the deal, and if somebody buys it, they have to
honor
that lease.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's 3 summers left on it, right?
Four.
There's 2 full summers already.
We did it for 6 years.
Okay, so there's 4 summers left on that. But regardless, access is something that we're holding us up right now. So we need to make a decision on that probably sooner than later. If we're going to go ahead and engage it, the options are to do it wrong or to do it right. Or not do it at all.
I thought that was the option. It was wrong.
There is something wrong, for sure. There is no doubt.
So your thoughts are, is that 66-foot wide right-of-way is what you have envisioned for that crossing?
Yeah, staying within that 66 feet and putting our plans and details would be for the culvert and the road through there, basically. Staying within that 66 feet. And I looked through the proposal that we put together and doing a property survey for it would be an additional cost on our price.
So would you recommend more pipe? One more length of pipe?
One more length
of pipe? I've got 60 feet.
You've got 60 feet?
It just depends on what we find in there.
Okay.
When we go start through design, depends on how wide you want your road on top too. If you only want it 10 foot wide, then your 66 feet would probably be, or your 60 feet would probably be fine. But
I would say as wide as the culvert, 60 feet of culvert would let you.
Yeah. So,
which is.
So we're not putting
what's too
we're not putting a county road in right now. We're just putting access to the hay field.
Right.
So
I would.
They could always add more later.
It's
right?
Not going to go like this. It's going to go like that. It's what's reasonable cover.
Right. Yeah. Understandable. Well, and it's as much earthwork as you want to do to make it worth it.
Yeah.
If it's going to be a lot of money to go down a whole lot, or
we have some flexibility to float that one way or to the clear up to the
right.
One side, or we can go clear over here.
Well, yeah, we got to deal with the floodplain too. Whatever's going to be required for that. So
yeah, so there is a little bit that culvert road can slide up and down there quite a bit.
So how deep is that out behind? That's wrong.
30 feet.
Deep?
Yeah.
How big is your culvert?
I would say it's 30.
Is it 20?
Yeah, that's the most.
What's the diameter of your culvert?
6 feet.
It's the right size. Don't tell us it's not.
Hopefully it is.
It's bigger than the rest of them.
It's as big as the one downstream.
You're going to have a lot of bolts in the future with that culvert. So.
Yeah, that's what we originally bought it for. But I don't know, is galvanized pipe done it?
I'm sure it has.
We bought it a year ago, plus.
I haven't priced out galvanized.
It cost us 8, 9 for 60 feet.
How much?
7 or 9, I got that in my head. How long will it take to get the process done in your estimate?
This will be a couple months because we're working with state and federal agencies on this. I'd like to say 4 months, but I don't know how backed up they are. So
that wind could have just made them fall in Monday.
Well,
I see a case of black culvert around.
Another realistic option is you leave that up to whoever buys the property too, that they've got to get the access.
We'll have to grant a right of way regardless.
Right.
And have to record it regardless.
Sure.
And we don't know exactly where it goes.
Yeah.
And it's gonna. I would imagine if you got a permit across there, you spend $12,000. That's gonna increase just the value of the land, knowing that there's 60-foot right of way and actual crossing availability
for sure.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's an investment for the land that's going to be important.
This is just for the engineering, and then you got to go do the work.
Yeah. And we got to record it right away. We've got probably $40,000 worth of work there. That's including this engineering. But
we're on an attorney.
Now you have a right of way.
Yes.
Do we have to go to the 66 foot?
Well, I think it just increases the attractiveness for developers and getting more money out of them.
But they can always come back and ask for more.
We can offer with an option. And say, you know, if you'll give us more money.
That easement's already recorded.
It's not recorded. It's recorded at the end of this black.
Yeah, but then if they buy the property, that's on them.
Is our end right? Oh, yeah, it is. Our both ends there.
So we just keep it the 40, and then if they come back and say, well, we need the 66, all right, we'll work with you.
Yeah, well, we can work through that. No, but the biggest thing right now is are we gonna get the permit? That's the next step if we're gonna do it.
Well, if we're gonna cross the wash, we gotta have the permit.
Or we can go back to our other original right of way and just
play that game.
The Ross right away.
That's going to take probably a little more than 40 grand to get that resolved. And we'll probably bankrupt him in the process.
Well, I guess I would propose that we accept the
motion. Okay, it's been moved by Dan to accept the permitting proposal by Sunrise. Is there a second? Seconded by Paul. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor of adopting the motion on the table, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Worth your staying.
It was worth staying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah, since we get that signed and back, we can get that in the future.
Okay. I want to get tacos tomorrow, huh, Curtis?
What?
We can get tacos tomorrow.
I hope so. It's on Sunrise, huh?
Well, the time you get through the tomorrow before and everything,
they're not
going
to learn your tacos.
What's that?
I said, the time you get through at the core, you're learning your tacos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? I'll go with it there then. Yeah. Let's see what. Who's going to get on leadership? They did very leaders at the building.
I don't know how they could do it. I left a little early.
Okay. Make sure you put that on your time card.
Okay. I will.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Hey, look at
that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next is personnel hiring duties. So Jim is put together the draft for the job description and title. He sent it by an email today. If you want a copy of it.
I got it.
And then
any changes?
I think you did a great job. I have a couple of maybe additions or changes. So I would call it entry level. I just call it water system technician.
Okay.
That way it gives us an opportunity to maybe get a higher grade employee if we buck into one. Water system technician is what I would call it. That's like, sounds pretty cool.
Water systems technician.
Huh?
Is that what you said?
Water system technician.
Yeah.
We talked about operator, but that's the next level that this guy would reach.
Sounds better, huh?
That way we have some graduated opportunities for him, a career path opportunity.
So they're both the same.
Yeah.
There's one thing you always need to include on a resume, or not resume, description. As I read through it, you always need to have and as other duties as assigned.
Other duties. Didn't we have something like that in there? I thought that was in there somewhere.
As other duties are
as assigned.
As assigned.
No. I mean, maybe in this one, but, or, sorry.
I thought, yeah, the above statements are intended to describe the general nature and level of work being performed by people assigned to this classification.
They're not to be construed as an exhaustive list of all responsibilities, duties, and skills required of personnel so classified. All personnel may be required to perform duties outside their normal responsibilities from time to time as needed.
Nobody reads disclaimers.
So does that cover it?
No. It does, but I think, I don't know if it's this. Is that how they have it, is the disclaimer? Is that how they word it, as a disclaimer?
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as it covers it.
That's several of them that have that exact disclaimer.
And that's important to have.
Okay.
The other thing is, you've got lifting requirements, 25 pounds. I'm going to find that job description. So there's one of those job descriptions that has, what we can just copy.
has your ADA compliant stuff. I'll show you. Let's see, right there.
We don't have to put the word an equal opportunity employer on any of this, do we? I wouldn't think so. That's just common knowledge.
Well, common knowledge is
what is
common.
The equal opportunity
or you won't discriminate.
Yeah.
Well, it's against the law anyway, so what?
What are your pronouns?
Super and men. So on this Nibley one or Magna one. So where it outlines the qualifications. So prior, you have some, you have like your minimum requirements here. High school diploma, there's a number of ways you can do this.
Does it say high school diploma on there? I don't think you need that. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, I thought I was going to ask for a master's.
Well, I got to go.
I don't think you're going to find it.
Apparently, I've seen some crazy, you know, masters, $12 an hour.
So. I was thinking about putting pulse on there.
Can you fog me?
Pulse?
Pulse. Just have them fog me.
About the pass a drug exam.
The body must be at 98 degrees.
Unless you minimum
of 98 degrees.
Must know the difference between men and women.
Must be able to use the appropriate bathroom.
You serious, aren't you?
We got a unisex bathroom here. We're not discriminatory. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's behind a bar.
So the physical demand, this is the stuff I'm talking about here. like just copy and paste the performance expectation, physical demand, overall effort and work. This just covers some liability there. You just copy and paste it. I don't see anything in this one that, other than like,
general crochet.
Oh, this one's the manager.
That's and I skipped a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it is.
But the physical demands is important because it's like common dexterity is reused while reporting duties. Employees rarely required to talk, to hear. Employees frequently required to sit to perform repetitive work, hand, finger, pointing them, grasp, so you stand, reach, all this stoop, crawl, have vision.
So comply with Duffy's physical attribute test.
Well, it's the A. You could require a physical test too, but you just have to let it be known. This is ADA, so if somebody comes in, they're saying, well, you didn't say you could hire a blind person. You say, well, you got to be able to drive a truck. Well, you didn't say anything on here, on your vision.
Okay.
So this physical demand, most of that you can just copy and paste. This is where you'll want to drop in, you know, you must be able to lift, you know, at least, or lift up to 75 pounds. You know, but we're a lawsuit happy world. But I don't see anything in there. I mean, must be able to see clearly 20 feet or more.
See, the one thing that does scare me about the employment here is there's no pre-drug screening.
Oh, we're government. We don't care about that.
But it would weed out a lot the minute you put that on there.
Yeah. That's a whole nother policy. I mean,
I know.
Very good policy to have if we need that.
might save you a lot of problems in the future.
Yeah.
But usually you can see them when they come in the door.
Yeah.
Not that I discriminate, but
if you had that on your application, they wouldn't even come to the door.
I would operate equipment. Probably won't, you know, they'd be able to operate equipment right on the job, on the entry level, or on the water technician.
Because then they come in, they have a
hydrovac.
They want to. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
Can you operate a shovel for 6 months and then maybe I'll let you drive the backhoe forward?
That's all I've got. And the on call is going to be important. The working schedule is on call. We have to decide if this is an hourly. I mean, it's an hourly position, so you got to.
Yeah, and I didn't put anything on the salary because. But do we want to get this out soon? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what are we looking salary wise?
Based on experience.
The best that we can do, if we want to put it in there, is just a range. I wouldn't lock it in because. That might limit you to you could get somebody and you're like, you know what, this kid's got some future, but he just needs a lot of training, so you're gonna put him on the lower end. Well, if you get somebody here to season, then you're like, hey, this guy he's got good experience, he's already done this type of work, you're gonna want him on the higher end. So you're gonna want to have a range.
Like Dean said, though, based on experience.
But the range is going to be based, you're going to say it's between, because we don't want, I mean, there's a certain level, we ain't going to find anybody that we can fit that job for less than blah, you know. But we want to be able to, if somebody comes in, we want to attract people who maybe has some good experience that we don't have to invest in. So we could say anywhere from, you know, $5 to $10 an hour range.
$7.25 is your starting.
Right there in the middle.
Unless they get tips. That's all I'm living on.
You better shave a little better, then. You're getting a little scruffy.
You gotta work with them. whatever you get.
But yeah, so I wouldn't put a hard number saying it's $20 an hour. But I would have a range. If you're going to put a range, there's pros and cons. I mean, it really is. I hate when I was job hunting, I hate having the question mark, what is even the ballpark pay figure on it? Because I went through an interview and I'm like, what do you guys pay? Or they're like, what did you make before? And I told them, I'm like, oh, you're not even close to where we pay. You know, and we just spent a lot of time, applications and interviews and screenings and it's like, well, you know.
If they were going to pay more?
Yeah, no, it was a lot less, but. It was, I thought the way they had, the problem is they have a job description and it sounded like they needed a scientist, you know, but that they want to pay a hamburger flipper hour or, you know, wage. So there's a benefit to attracting the right people. If you'll say, you know, they're like, oh, that's only $12 an hour or that's only $10 an hour. But if you say it's, you know, in this range, depending on the experience, and then you can maybe get a little, you can maybe attract a little bit more. You're going to want to put in the benefits. We great retirement, health insurance. You know, is they're going to want to know that you have benefits.
Yeah. So Ballard's put there as a $16 to $25 an hour.
Is there a range for this type of position? That's a big range, but if it's due to the experience, then you can say, this is where you fall. The problem is you're going to have some cowboy come in and it's going to be like, I'm 25 material, and you're like, what have you done? Well, I graduated high school. What else you done? Well, I helped my dad one day. And, you know, you'll have that kind of problem, but that's, you can weed through those. You really, if somebody's out of touch, if they're not in touch with the reality, then you probably don't want to work here anyway. So, what do you guys want to do? I've said too much. Do you want to do a range or nothing at all?
What are you going to leave it kind of open? Because you can't, like you said, you can't put a hard number in there. And you might get somebody come in that
it's going to maybe justify those little bit better money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to stay, you know.
And see, if you just put based on experience, you open it up. Because...
You mean without range?
Yeah, when you don't put a range, you just put based on experience.
Then you'll want to do that. I think it would be good wise to put preferred qualifications. CDL, operator, experience running equipment. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I don't care. I just know that a lot of those jobs, when they didn't advertise what they pay, I just ignored them because I didn't want to waste their time or my time. That's me. That's the way they weeded out the riffraff then, yeah. Maybe I did them a favor. The job that I got hired on to, I didn't know the pay until they offered me the job. That was not a good moment to learn of it. Fortunately, it was right there where I expected it to be. But I mean, 2 month processes, 4 interviews, and then all of a sudden, here's your offer. It's like, you know, without any kind of range or anything, that was a little much. That's a little hard to. And you're gonna get asked in the very first phone screen, what do you pay? You're gonna get asked that. People are gonna come in and get applications. They're gonna ask.
That's easy. Not enough.
That's the least amount you'll take.
Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Yeah.
And don't ask me to do it hourly because you really don't want to know.
Yeah. I'm good with the 16 to 25. That's a great ranking. That's a big ranking.
I just put on there based on experience and qualifications, i.e. CDL certificates and time in related field.
And experience, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. But you're going to get out
that way, and if somebody's serious, then...
Yeah.
You'll get out.
I think sometimes money brings in weirdos. But if they look at that and they go, man, I don't know if I even have it.
It's hard to guess in a market like this. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that we get?
Is there anything about the job?
Yeah, we don't need to make a motion. We just give them the blessing and turn it out.
I think it's good.
Okay.
See what response we get.
All right. So you.
We can't have any less.
So what is the what's the process for applying? Do they have to
submit resume
at the office? It'll be open for 30 days.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to put that like in the newspaper or take it to job service?
Job service open
till
newspaper.
Open till filled.
Open till filled.
That's probably a good way to put it. Because if you get somebody that comes in and you think he's going to do you a job, you don't want to put him off and he goes and finds it somewhere else.
That's for sure.
That point is filled.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions on that? You good?
And the thing is, you call them at 4 o'clock in the morning and tell them when they're to come in for their interview.
There you go.
And see how their attitude is at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Did you get a phone call?
I used to. You know what I used to do on interviews? I used to give them a small assignment for the next interview. If they made the short list and I did it, I give them some sort of small little assignment. You know, if they would do this for me for the next interview, or have this ready for the next interview, it's surprisingly how many people failed to do that.
So when I interviewed once for down at Centerville, just for
for kicks and giggles, and they had a test for me. I went and operated their equipment, and yeah, they were pretty thorough.
Yeah. But the reason I gave them a little assignment to see if they could find it, they can understand corrections and follow through. And it's surprising how many people didn't follow through. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I'll forget to hire you. You know, something simple like that can, you know, you can do things like that. The aptitude test, if we could do that. I hated those. You don't fit the box that we put, you should put in. We good?
I think so. Yeah. I'll send over a final copy to you guys before I do put it in the paper and that.
I wouldn't wait for a response though.
Well, the minute while you say okay, I'll okay.
Okay.
It's your responsibility.
What's that? You're the one who reads the emails early in the morning.
Who's that?
Me. That's when I get my best work done, is about 4 to 6.
No, I bypassed that 4 o'clock.
But you know what?
That guy that called me at 2:30 or 3 in the morning that one time.
Right? When's the next holiday? That's when we'll let him know.
Easter.
I got called at 3 in the morning. Can you come turn off my water? No, I'm not even awake.
Yeah, that's a rude awakening. That's very rude.
Should have been in a search and rescue. You get those early morning calls. 3 o'clock in the morning, come and find me, or come and find my son, or come in.
Yeah, you can understand that a little bit. I can't understand turning off your water at 3 in the morning.
Well, that's a good
one. Especially after you told me not to turn it off that night.
Yeah.
That's what killed me. It was, yeah.
He's afraid it's going to
cover the year.
Yeah, we're down to any action items. I don't think we have any pending action items, do we? We kind of covered everything on the way.
Yeah. I have an email that keeps coming to me from a Bailey Stevens. It's on that lead copper business. I haven't.
Well, the one, did you sign up? What, did you sign your name as register at that meeting, at that class?
Not that I know of. But anyway, here was the first one. When you've gotten back to your routine following the conference, I'm sure you and your utility are handling a million different programs. With the deadline not being until October 2024, the lead and copper rule revisions might be the last thing on your mind. Knowing that our team at 120 Water developed this short 2-minute survey, which pinpoints exactly where you are in being prepared for the new regulations. If you'd like to chat further on your results, here's my calendar. That was one email. One that just came the other day, a few days ago. The national conservation around water infrastructure is finally taking center stage. With the passing of infrastructure bill, utilities like yours will have the resources needed to get lead out of our water. If you know projects that are shovel ready, projects that are shovel ready should be prioritized when it comes to LSLI funding. If you're interested in learning what shovel ready means for you, please schedule for a quick 15-minute meeting on my calendar.
Yeah, so what you did you sign up for any of those drawings or anything?
I don't think I signed any. You got any ideas?
I've got one just like yours from somebody, and I think it's because I attended a class and kind of signed put my email on it or something.
Maybe they
got the email from Rural Water, and they just sent it to everybody that attended. That could be.
It could be, but anyway, I didn't know if there's anything there that do we have that lead copper in place?
Yeah.
Well, kind of. That whole rhythm roar of finding out what everybody has in their yard.
Those are just sales pitches.
Well,
so
anyway,
We've already talked to Sunrise about putting a line on our meters. So when you go to this right here, let's see, where's the meter right here? So what we're doing is we're going to have them put on these meters, we're going to put service line material so we can put lead, yes, lead, no, you know, so that then we can go to every meter and say that the service line going to that house is not lead or is lead.
Well, like you was up at college the other day and you took a picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
The plastic line, didn't even think what.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, because he went, that was weird. I think what happened on that one was they put in the new water line and that it had been hooked to the old water line that was farther out.
Oh.
And so they brought the new line in, and so the old line used to go out to the street, and then they just took that service line and wrapped it around the meter and came in from the north side.
Did Kenny fix it and straighten it out?
Well, Colin dug it out. He was...
Did I show you that picture?
Yeah, Kenny called me on it and says, do you care if we reroute it? And I go, I'd appreciate it if you'd reroute it.
Well, I think that he says, what should we do? And I said, we got pictures of it. Tie in your other line where you want to go and...
I talked to them.
Leave a rat around the mall.
Yeah, they don't
need to. As long as we know.
Yeah. They don't need to do it.
They are good.
Because it's going to be behind. Like
Kenny was willing to do it. Like,
so if you're looking straight north from their water meter,
either way, we'll
their line goes out
can't to believe they didn't,
at about
they
didn't a 30 to 40 okay. degree yeah. angle straight to the northeast.
So that's like that one of the
gas lines.
Went and dug in.
Yeah.
The gas line was across the street, but it went right across where I was digging at. And I'm lucky I didn't hit it. Some of the dumb things
anyway.
I've got a resource for all of you board members. It's a pocket guide for a board member. It's a good little read for responsibilities and what a board does. I just need your email. I'll just forward it to you.
Okay.
What's your email?
DJ Crozier.
I've got your email, but for some reason it's not pulling it up here on this one.
DJ Crozier at ubtanet.com.
And then, yep, there you are, recent. Why didn't it bring you up before?
I don't know, because I thought you had, I got stuff from you before.
Yeah. Ah, you, all right.
I hate emails.
Yeah.
I had to fight with that today.
I don't know why it won't bring you up though, because ubtanet.com.
Yep.
And then we've got Dean. What is yours?
DeanWeed@ubtanet.com.
I got yours. Paul, I know I. There you are, Paul QC7. So you guys care to have this? It's a pocket guide for board members. You guys want it?
Yeah. Send it to me.
Thanks. And you don't give
no, I don't need any more emails.
And then one other email I'm going to send you guys is this is an annual. You guys, we have the initial that has to be done every 4 years or if you get reelected. It's the board meeting training, right? Board member training. There's an annual training that has to be done every year, and it's the open meeting training. And I'll send you links on that too.
I'll put it right here by Trick Bulls. They got Trick and Bull that box out of camp.
So
they got him on the tribe. They don't test them.
You don't test bulls, tribe
them. The Jinx don't.
The Jinx?
Yeah, for more rain?
I don't test anything.
All right, so the two things I just emailed you, the one's the pocket guide, and then the second one's a link to the training.
Right.
It's not a big involved training. It's not that big, but we're supposed to do it every year.
Pony Express must be running slow.
Yeah, I don't have hardly any.
Oh, where's the...
It came?
Yep, I got two of them.
Okay. Yeah, so that's just kind of, the one's a pocket guide, so you can kind of read through and some board member responsibilities. And then the other one is the annual training that we need to do. It's different than the board member.
So you sent two of them?
Yeah. Anybody have any other items or old business needs to come up?
That's his meter. See the outflow comes out of the meter, then circles around and comes back that way.
That's interesting. They do have some slack they didn't want to have to cut?
No, I think what it was is when they redid that line, they had slack from the old line coming in, and so they just wrapped it around and put it in. Because the new line was closer to the house. That's our guess. We don't know.
I'll bet that the line's a lot closer to the house than the old one.
Well, it works. So there it is.
So he probably whacked it off back here and then just hooked it in, right?
That's what I said.
Who? Kenny called?
No, it's still just like that.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked. Colin dug into it just a little farther down, put in the stop and waste, and then tied his line on that goes out to his out arena stuff. So
Bobby Drake is putting a 4-inch line up there.
You got that worked out?
Yeah.
Good.
Did you say when he's going to hook on?
Tie on the XL. Is he going to buy connections for that, or is he making the homeowners do that?
Homeowners. That's why we've got to start work on these policies.
Well, we got two knocked out tonight.
Yeah, you did good.
Well, you guys knew.
That's all. We need the motion. The important one.
If you guys are done, I'm done.
We observe.
Man, I like that.